treasury where the funds are actually withheld but managed from treasury, not completely withheld, but you engage with Mr. Hartung and Mr. Nkuleni from the National Treasury. Have you engaged with them, at this point in time? Those are the Directorate of Intergovernmental Relations, and I think I have the privilege to say that Machabeng has been present when I engage with the Institution of Treasury. What is the position with Maluti Apofungwe? We've seen the decay, and was it not necessary to perhaps limit the losses of Maluti Apofungwe in terms of a treasury intervention? Is the 1391B, is it sufficient? And is the financial recovery plans of treasury, is it adequate to address your problems? Just with regards to the limited progress, I can mention today, and I'm glad that I had the privilege to speak to some councillors, that there is limited progress since the administrators took over. But before that, we've seen that there were no systems. It was a complete dysfunctional municipality. There were no revenue collection and I think in June, now for the first time, these bills are being sent out. How can you sustain your municipality if there's no revenue collection at all? So those are problems. And, of course, it was an old billing system, a new system was installed. A question from Scopa: who were the people installing the new system? Who gave the permission for the new system that was dysfunctional? We would like to have those answers from you. And then, of course, I see from my analysis in terms of audit outcomes, no statements were tabled. That poses a problem. Now, Chairperson, if we go to no statements tabled, and I just look in terms of what we would like to establish, irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, and unauthorized expenditure, it clearly indicates there's none. We can't work on anything then. Are you in agreement, sir, that there is no indication of what the irregular expenditure is, what the unauthorized expenditure is, and what the fruitless and wasteful expenditure is? And then you have not submitted, and my question is then, are you engaging with the Auditor General in this regard and these findings, and how would you at least offer us financial statements in Maluti Apofungwe? Now, Chairperson, we've seen, unfortunately, this is an indictment on the Free State for late interventions, I believe. It's an indictment on Treasury for late interventions, and I think the ball has been dropped by the political leaders from the ANC in the Free State, if I can put it as blunt as that. Unfortunately, that's the situation. Now, can I then go to Machabeng, and perhaps, Chair, will you allow me to pose the questions, and then they can respond to me? Or would you like to have a direct interaction first from Maluti Apofungwe? I'm in your hands. I'm trying to stay within the 15 minutes.
No, I think if you have a direct question from Maluti Apofungwe, as I was listening, maybe let them respond.
Thank you.
So that you can then ask others other questions.
Thank you. I appreciate it, Chairperson.
Except that we'd want you to be really very pointed in response to the question.
No, thanks, Honorable Chair. I think it was just a comment on the intervention, 18 minutes, but it is there. The note clinics. I think, Chair, what I wanted to emphasize, perhaps on this understanding of irregular expenditure. I'm not defending it.
No, don't emphasize it. We understand it. We deal with it on a daily basis. Actually, a program of hearings just on your regular expenditure.
Let me leave it and focus on Machabe, who gave permission for the new system. The former municipal manager is the one who appointed that system. His contract has been expired, so he's no longer there. But what we did, we reinstated the previous system that was there because it was efficient. Yes, there's no financial. The financial statement for 16-17 have been submitted. It was submitted late. The audit is not yet been concluded because of some unrest and everything that happened there. The Auditor General team had to pull. So we've engaged with them. We had a number of meetings with AG, the business executive in Bloemfontein. I think they'll be coming next week just to come and check the status. But we are pushing to make sure that at least before the end of June, we finalize on the audit for 16-17. But yes, we know that there are challenges in terms of that. And in the absence of the audited financial system, then you won't have reported the regular expenditure, unauthorized, and the rest, because they've got to be reported once they've been issued. I think if I...
That's fine. I'm happy now. I can just... listen, just to follow up then, in terms of your budget for 2018-19, has there been a budget table? Are you in progress working towards that budget?
Yes. On the 19th of this month, there will be tabling a draft budget. On the 28th, we'll then be tabling the final budget. We have to do it before the end of June. Yeah.
you've indicated that there are business people engaged in legal action and that there's a direct payment to Eskom. Is that correct? And it's negative for the municipality. But certainly I believe that the disconnection notices served on those businesses is also unfortunate because those people were paying their accounts. Can you give me an indication of your views with regards to disconnection notices served by Eskom on paying consumers and the effect on municipalities?
I think I must admit that, as I've indicated before, that those businesses are creating huge job opportunities in the province. And if they are paying the municipality and the municipality is not paying the money over to Eskom, so that's a risk for them. But we are managing that. As I said, we had a meeting with them where we wanted to create an account where the money will go and then we take it to Eskom. But they decided to go to court. So I think we'll have to wait and check what will be the outcome of the court and then we can take it from there.
Are you advising that the other municipality that you've indicated is a trust account? Is it? Is this a Northwest? Is this in Mpumalanga? Which municipality is it, if I may know? Just the name of the municipality?
Lekwa.
Would you indicate that the Lekwa option is a better option, where there's a trust account? At least the municipality still has some influence in terms of collecting the payments to reflect in their financial statements. It's not a direct payment to Eskom. Ultimately, Eskom can't take it over because, I mean, there is some profit coming from municipal services. And what is your recommendation in terms of this?
I think there are strong arguments from our legal team for this particular matter that is coming. But what we have ideally requested is that for that money to go into the municipality's account, not the primary account separate, and then we pay it over. Because if that money goes directly to Eskom, it actually creates problems in terms of the accounting of that particular money, because in terms of the MFMA, Section 11 of the MFMA, all monies that are due to the municipality must go through the primary account. So if we have a separate account, it's easier for us to reconcile, unlike business paying directly to Eskom.
Thank you, Chairperson. Because the municipality is under administration, I think, and you are still in the founding stages, I think I will accept your explanations, and thank you very much for that. And I think there is proper engagement still to follow with regards to the payment of your staff. I'm not sure when the staff was paid for the first time. I believe people have been suffering in Bloete Opofung, and I think there needs to be a turnaround strategy. Not only is it Elizabeth Ross substation that you've mentioned, it's my great-grandmother, and there's Elizabeth Ross Hospital as well in that area. So we need to get it functional as soon as possible. Thank you so much. Chairperson, that brings me to Machabeng, which is perhaps closer to home. If I can just quickly then engage with Machabeng on their audit outcomes. It's interesting to note, Mr. Tswaley and Mr. Spielman Mayor, that you've achieved an unqualified with findings. And I believe in the past there was always disclaimers, but I was impressed to note that you established a multi-party task team and that all councillors worked towards the solution. So in terms of administrative capacity, I must say, Chairperson, you get it right. But where we get it wrong is the outstanding debt to Eskom and the bulk suppliers. And that needs to be sorted out. But it is encouraging to say, yes, the bookkeeping is now fine or better, but the findings are still severe. And then in terms of your irregular expenditure, it's 327 million where you don't comply to legislative requirements. Your unauthorized expenditure is just over a billion, which is extremely concerning. But I believe, if my memory serves me right, that is with regards to rental interest payments mostly. But I'd like to have your response on this. And then in terms, the main problem is 186 million in terms of fruitless and wasteful. Is this a complete culture of inaccountability?
No, thanks very much, Honorable Ross. If you look at the fruitless and wasteful expenditure for Machabeng, it's 186 million. If you look at the general report of the AG, of that, 182 million is interest for Eskom. So you'll understand that because we are owing 1.8 billion of interest will be also high. My presentation has shown already that in this financial year, 175 million is interest alone. So if you go to page, I think it's 36 or 37 of the general report of the AG, they also indicated that 0.182 billion, which is 182 million, is interest to ESCOM. Now, if I go to unauthorized expenditure, also the AG has explained that 474 million of that is non-cash. Now, if you look at the top 10 within that category, you'll find four metros are there. You'll find three secondary cities are there. Because of their sizes, you can imagine that overspending on the budget becomes an issue. In our case, the issue would be the pressures that we receive to pay for the bulk services, meaning ESCOM and CDBM Water. It's not because we are being irresponsible, it's because of those factors mainly.
All right. Okay. Chairperson, I take the point in terms of the problems with secondary city status, because you have a huge contingent of unemployed people, and I think in that regard, I think it was way over the 40%. But certainly in terms of your budget being fully funded, and I believe we've been at Treasury together, and Treasury has indicated to me that the indigent register needs to be upgraded. When last did you upgrade your indigent register, which is based on stats and then identifying the households with no income, and on those basis of you make the presentation to Treasury with regards to equitable share allocations. Are you updated on it? I don't want details. I just want to know, are you engaging with Treasury on this to see if you can stimulate or enhance your cash flow situation in Machabeng?
The issue around indigenous register is a matter that we are finding ways and means to ensure that people who need to be there are there. Because when we engage the Free State Treasury to assist us just to clean up the indigenous register of Machabeng, we found people who are in the public service, teachers, people who earn over 6,000 are also there. So we, at the moment, our indigenous register is at 17,000. But we think with the unemployment rate that we have, people who are earning from the social grants is above 40,000, we should be looking into that. But when we did an analysis per ward, for example, we expected wards that were payment level at 1%, but only about 200 people registered. Immediately that tells you that people are not interested anymore to come and register as indigent, because in some areas they actually receive the services for free.
Okay.
We told you about ESCOM not being able to assist us to collect there, and that is why you'll find the collection rate in some of those areas is 30% or less.
Okay. Same question perhaps that I've posed to Maluti Opafum also with regards to the continuous disconnection notices served on the paying public and especially business people in Welkom. Do you foresee when the disconnection notices take place and there's even limitation of water supply that these businesses can still sustain and pay the municipality? I think we need to get to a new agreement with ESCOM with regards to the disconnection. It is simply not feasible or enhancing the economy if these disconnection notices are served. It serves no purpose. All we do is drag each other to court, and there's interdicts not to intervene. But certainly in the final analysis, we have to restore the credibility of the municipality's finances and to see that we don't have these irregular, fruitless, and wasteful expenditure, unauthorized expenditure, and then get to a sustainable point in terms of management of our finances. Do you agree with that? Mr. Spielman?
No, thank you very much. What is happening, Chair, on the issue of water raising? That's why we're having that multi-party meetings where we call all those businesses. Remember what the business was saying, that what makes us not to pay 1-12 our month is because ESCOM is cutting even us, people that were paying. Then on the basis of that, we call everybody, say, look, we don't want to punish everybody who are paying their services. But all the businesses in the municipalities now, they've committed themselves as long that we make sure that Eskom is not going to cut their electricity, as long as their business is going to run, they are prepared to assist us talking to their partnership to say, let's pay for the municipality. But one issue that I wanted to raise that we mentioned, the issue of indigent. When we're having a meeting with the councillors, everybody submitted, in terms of the councillors, when we add, it was making plus or minus 6,000 to 70,000 people. But treasure, what has been registered, was 17,000, which give us a problem. I don't dispute the fact that, like MM is saying, some of the people, when we check the indigent register, people have registered, they are teachers, are nurses, of which is one of the issues that must be able to rectify. But what is key, and the treasurer is not assisting us in terms of how you can't move from 75,000 and then able to say register for 17,000, but the unemployment rate is above 47%.
Chairperson, I think the point is made that it's a very important point in terms of the registering of indigents at Treasury and how they then structure the payments. It's an important point made. Now, my concern is, however, if I look at the newspapers, I see sale of execution of many of your properties. Is the municipality completely dysfunctional now? Is it in limbo because of the payments that you need to do to the bulk supply? And then there was also a payment of 15 million to SARS. For this month, could you pay the monthly installment for the bulk supply? Are the community at risk of a collapse of bulk supply or not?
The budget of 2018-19 that council passed indicated to us that we need to reduce contracted services. Now, we moved from contracted services of 280 million to 120 million for the 18-19 financial year. Now, that indicated that people that we owe, they are now saying we are no longer going to be servicing the municipality. Our contracts are going to be terminated. I can tell you those people who took us to court, as an example, are security companies, two of them. And between the two of them, we owe them plus minus 40 million. Now, they are pushing that they get that money as soon as possible so that as we enter the new financial year, they've received the money. Because one of the things that we need to do as part of the cost containment measures of the municipality is to ensure that we insource. We find people who can do security services within the municipality in order to then are able to have a cash-funded budget. Now, those are the people who are after us. In terms of the collapse of the municipality, I don't think we are there yet. The agreement that we have with Eskom, we think, is a solid one. We are still in engagement with Sidibeng Water. That is why if you saw the notices that were issued by Eskom, Machabing is not there.
That's indeed good news. Can I just ask you on the bloated salary bill that we've discussed? I think, I can't remember the date. It's on the 13th of February.
We'll try to
wrap it up. Yeah, I'm on my way, sir. Yeah. The bloated salary bill, is it 50 million a month? And are you still envisaging, are you also responsible for the traffic department? Traffic department, does it fall under the municipality? Because there's post-advertised, I think, for 150 people with a bloated salary bill at 50 million. Is that correct?
No. Let me clarify that. I've just said that we need to be having our own skills within the municipality. And part of that process is to bring in people who will be able to do security services for the municipality. Now, if we pay 8 million a month to three companies to secure the municipality and its assets, then you need to rethink how you're going to do it in order to be able to sustain the services that you need to give to the community, also to meet the monthly commitments. Our budget for salaries is 54 million. Of that, we started to dissect to see acting is around 1.7. And overtime is around 6.2 million. Now, decisions that we have taken, which we'll be implementing in the new financial year, is to ensure that those we start First, to remove actings and confirm people into positions. Two is to ensure that we cut our overtime. Our overtime with the first draft budget that went to council on the 31st of March.
Thank you. My time is running out, but I'd like to thank you. Yes, the overtime issue is a very important issue. I see in many of the municipalities, people are only working on Sundays in inflating the overtime bill. I think something we need to address. Can I then just say in conclusion with Machabeng and Maluti Opafung, two very important and the top defaulters with Eskom, that I believe there is interventions needed. I think a lot has been done by the task teams, and I believe that Machabeng has improved from a disclaimer to an unqualified opinion, which is some progress. Thank you, Chair. Can I quickly move to Nagwati as well? Then I've covered three municipalities with your permission. What is the time limit? Is there another 12 minutes left?
I've given an additional 15 minutes already.
Have you?
Okay.
So thank you, Chair. Chair, just in terms of Nagwati, a multi-party task team for a turnaround strategy has been introduced. Is this a functional committee? Are you meeting? Nagwati. No, we're done with Machabeng.
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable Member. The committee is ad hoc committee set up by the Mayor, and it is multi-party, but it is basically to keep progress on the performance and implementation.
Is it functional?
It's functional, but it's not been meeting on the regular basis because it's not a schedule like any other Section 79 or 80 committee. So it's on an as and when basis as convened by the Mayor. Thank you, Chair.
Yes, Chairperson, I would recommend that committee is dysfunctional. I would urge the Mayor to reconvene and to structure the meetings properly. Can I just ask with regards to the rumours of supply chain management and appointments in this area and that there's tender irregularities? Because I don't have, in terms of Nagwati, unauthorised, irregular or fruitless expenditure. I think you did a late submission. Why did you have a late submission with the AG?
The financial statements were submitted late due to challenges that related to the assets in particular, GRAP 17 compliance, and the consultant that was used was replaced at a late stage. And with the agreement of the AG, we complied in terms of if there were to be late submissions of financial statements, we had to inform the council, the AG, and provincial treasury, and we did comply with that.
Will you be able to inform us as to the regular expenditure, fruitless and wasteful, unauthorised? Will you submit it later to this committee? Is it possible?
Yes, we can do that. The CFO is present, so we can.
All right. Thank you very much. Comrade Kikan?
No, thanks, Chair. You see the difficulty with this presentation. That is, with this hearing, it's not a normal SCOPA hearing. And in my preparation, I prepared that is per municipality. But listening to the presentation from a number of municipalities, the issues are common. But there's one issue that I need maybe a response on, would be on Disobot. You painted a very bleak picture of the municipality. Now, my question is, do you have a plan to turn around that is the situation in there?
Through you, Chair. I think maybe before I respond to that, I need to highlight one issue that I did not mention, which will also maybe assist in having an understanding of what is going on in our municipality. For the last year or so, the municipality has not had any substantive directors. As we speak, those positions are still vacant for a period of over a year. If I include the municipal manager, CFO, and all the key infrastructure LED directors, we don't have at the moment, and it's been going on for a long time. And we've been having municipal managers changing from time to time. So every plan that was in place, it has never been, if there is no continuity, because there is no handover and all those things. But what we are doing at the moment, to be quite honest with you, we are like running an emergency ward, if I were to summarize it that way. Because you can't focus on anything. Everything is just emergency from day to day.
Okay.
Thank you.
I thought that you'd give me some hope. Are you saying that municipality has collapsed? Is that what you're saying? Because my question was, do you maybe have a turnaround strategy to change the whole situation? I understood the picture that you gave us. To be honest, it was depressing. And I would request you to please assist us in terms of the turnaround strategy. What are you going to do that is to improve the situation?
One key issue that we have dealt with at the moment, initially...
Or maybe before you answer his question, are you electing mayor or you're permanently...
Acting MM.
Acting MM. Yes. All right. Continue.
Since the 24th of May.
2018.
2 weeks ago. But to get back to what I wanted to tell you as to what is it that we are doing or what have we done to try and alleviate the situation. Just a practical example of what was happening at our municipality in terms of procurement. I would say it was a free for all. Everyone was running supply chain. Every department was procuring on its without the involvement of supply chain. So what we did, we centralized that particular function. We took away all the powers from everyone so that we know exactly what is going on. Because one of the issues that we are dealing with, it would be that you would have a stream of people coming in, service providers, to say, we rendered this particular services 3-4 months ago and we never even received an order. We want to be paid. Now you start a dialogue. What happened? And all those kind of things. So we prevented that. So at least now we have minimized those kind of things. At least now we are able to quantify our exposure as the municipality.
All right. No, that's fine.
Thank you. But I think Majoro wanted to add something with regard to the collapse.
Not the collapse. Thanks, Chair. Let me also try to reiterate on the issue of instability in terms of the senior management in the municipality. As the acting municipal manager has indicated, the challenge that was there, you'd realized that for the last term and the current one, we had substantive two municipal managers who did not even work for more than 23 months. So this year, in this term, we appointed a new municipal manager who was there for 6 months and then he resigned. And then as it has been indicated all along, then we have been operating with the acting municipal managers. But as a hope on the side of the municipality, we have advertised the position of the municipal manager whereby on the 18th of this month, then we'll be going for interviews. And then we have made a submission to the department. We conducted interviews for the director, corporate service, technical, and the three positions. So then we have made the submission to the MEC. We are just waiting for compliance check.
Okay.
So basically, and then on the issue, Chair, sorry, just to quickly there. Right, on the issue of trying to get to improve the situation, we are embarking currently on a program of trying to ensure that we we go as aggressive as possible on the issue of updating our indigent register, because I should think that is where we'll get at least an assistant in terms of revenue. And then we are also trying to consider, we are considering because we have a challenge of leakage of meters, so we are also on a program of embarking on the installation of smart meters that will create revenue for the municipality. Thanks.
Okay. I just want to check with, because I think Salga is also here, and Salga is supposed to be an association of local government, and Salga is supposed to assist where there are problems. What is Salga's role that is in this whole thing? Because as I said, if you listen to the presentation, it is really depressing. And I think Salga, for a lack of a better word, I would say is a big brother. What is your role in assisting that is a depressed municipality like this one?
Thank you, sir. It will be important, I believe, when we appear before the SCOPA last 2 weeks, we made our presentation. And we also define what is our role. And we said our role is to lobby, advocate, and represent. And when municipalities generally in the country experience difficulties such as this one, we engage department that is relevant, which is COGDA, both nationally and the provincial level, and the treasury, because are matters that it's a...
No, Chief. I hear what you're saying. I'm saying you correctly indicated that is your role. Now my question is, have you done that?
The answer is yes, we did engage the relevant departments that must give support to such municipalities of that nature.
Now unfortunately you're not responding to my question. You are giving me a general, that is, response. I'm talking about this particular municipality. Are you assisting in that is in this particular one?
Chair, we assist every municipality, including this one. Yes.
Kere ditsobo ntate. I'm not talking about other municipalities. I get, we are talking about this particular case.
The Salga in the province do work with all municipalities, including this municipality. Yes, it has been assisted by Salga.
That's the answer that I was looking for.
Except, Kumrikekani, just to add that district municipalities exist supposedly to assist local municipalities as well as the provinces. Now, if we're the Portfolio Committee on Local Government, our next hearing will be to call all district municipalities and the province to say, if we have this, where are you and what are you doing? Or should it be that as we amend section 25, we must also amend sections that relate to your existence as district and provinces, so that all the resources that go to you, human and financial, can go to municipalities? Anyway, continue, Comrade.
Thanks, Chair. I think this is directed to the DG, because listening to all municipalities, they raised an issue that government is owing them. Now, when they were raising this issue, I then said, DG, are you hearing this for the first time? And if not, what are you doing, that is, as the accounting officer, in assisting, that is, these municipalities? Because unfortunately, it's not acceptable, that is, for government that is to all these municipalities. We have got these buildings. I know that most of these buildings, all of them, they might not be under your control. But what are you doing that is to assist in terms of talking to your colleagues, that is for them to assist, that is these municipalities in terms of payment?
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. Indeed, the portion of the 139 billion that is owed to municipalities, a portion of that is government, and that is 7 billion. Now, we have engaged our, because most of the government properties belong to the Department of Public Works. So we have been in discussions with that department, the DG and so on, and they have promised us that they are working on the matter and with the intention to pay where government is owing. Now, they did allude to the fact that in some cases the invoices are disputed. You know,
but
say
what about where they are not disputed? Why are they not paid?
Well, that was our position, Chairperson, to say where there is no dispute, they should just make sure that bill is paid, and we got that promise from them that they will. That's what they will do. But we're engaging them from time to time because it is, of course, worrying.
But are there no time frames? If they say we'll pay, don't you agree on time frames so that you don't engage them from time to time? You engage them once and they pay.
Yes, Chairperson. I think the amount was actually more. It also differs from province to province. Some provinces also take it upon themselves through the COCTA, the provincial treasuries, and you will find that the debt gets reduced. But in some provinces, you know, there are still those challenges.
I would request you to give us an analysis that is of this debt, because tomorrow we are meeting the IMC and we need to put this that is before them. I think what the Chairperson is saying in terms of the timelines, the IMC must be in a position to assist us, that is in terms of the timelines. But we can be in a position to do that if we have that is a proper analysis as to which province is owing what or which government department is owing what. Is it possible for us to have that information that is before going to our meeting with the IMC?
Chairperson, we'll make that information available. We cannot shall do it now. I'll just say.
Right. No, that's fine. If it's available, forward it to Mr. Ben Kali, and then we'll get it.
No, thanks. Chair, I don't know which municipality is going to respond to this one, because it is also a problem almost in 80% of the municipalities that are here. The issue of the stability that is on top. When you were doing your introduction, most of your municipal managers are in an acting capacity. When are you feeling that is those positions? Because that is also contributing, that is, to the instability that we have in some of the municipalities.
Yeah, can you respond? Except it all, so what, like they've already told us when they are appointing their permanent municipal manager. I was counting here, I think I counted four who had acting municipal managers. Yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. We have concluded the interviews. We may finalize the appointment by end of the month. We're just waiting for the competency results from the candidates who performed in order of their performance. So we're just waiting for that. Immediately we get that, we'll finalize. And we also wish to confirm that we've already made an appointment for technical services manager, council has concluded on that one. The technical services manager will be starting on the 1st of July. Thank you very much.
Well, let's hear the other three.
Municipality, it's Gauteng.
No, if you have a permanent MM. No. If you have a permanent MM, just say no, ours is permanent.
Here it is.
No, I'm not saying absent. It's permanent position. It might be here, but...
Yeah, he still have a contract with us until October. So it's still all right.
Oh, all right. Okay. Yeah, the other three municipalities where you have acting municipal managers. Well, Maluta, Phofung, I want you to respond last because you are a completely different case. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. In Governor Mbeki, we have advertised, and in the next 2 weeks, we will be shortlisting, and then the other processes will follow. But we have advertised the post of the MM.
Okay. Is Naledi acting as well?
No.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we're fine.
Maluta Phofu, you're just not paying ESCOM, but otherwise you're fine.
No, Chair. Okay. We advertise the position of the MM, the CFO, and the technical director. All of them are closing on the 22nd of this month, next week Friday. We'll have to make it a point that we interview and appoint within 30 days, as it is in terms of the regulations on the appointment.
All right. Thanks.
I'm happy to hear that, but please be careful. You're on record. And tomorrow I'll be asking you the same question. Ask my Salga friend. Chair, I just want clarity from, again, the DG on the trust account issue, because this is going to set a very dangerous precedent that is for municipalities if we don't deal with it. DG, what is your view on that?
Thanks, of course, our view is that the consumers who are within the area of jurisdiction of a municipality and they're using the services, they need to pay to the municipality and not to any other account. So this trust account is the creation in the situation of a crisis, like where ESCOM would cut the whole municipality and the businesses and other people would feel, no, but we have paid and so on. So it's something that is created in a crisis arrangement. But it is not the way it is supposed to be. You have to pay to the municipality. But of course, in situations where the court has made a ruling, but even in that, it's an interim order. But basically, it is not an ideal situation, and we don't support it.
Okay. I would like you to round off if you still have questions.
No, Chair, it's not a question also, it's a comment.
Okay.
Listening to all the municipalities, I did not get a sense that there's commitment. That is because we are meeting here precisely to deal with the issue of your payment to ESCOM. What are we saying? Because we need to deal with that issue. Because to be honest with you, this is a national crisis. And if we don't deal with the issue of ESCOM, I think the chairperson indicated earlier on that if ESCOM collapses, we are all in trouble. Now, we need a firm commitment that is from yourselves as to going back, that is to your municipalities, you will make sure that at least you come up with a plan that is to pay ESCOM. All what I heard, that is from a number of municipalities, is the reason not to pay escrow. That's what we hear. In your presentations, you are telling us the reasons why you are not paying escrow. No one said to us, no, this is how we are going to pay escrow. Okay, can we get that commitment so that when you leave here, we know that at least there's commitment that is from yourselves that you will be paying that is escrow.
All right, thanks. No. Let's take it easy. I'm sure as comrades ask questions, we'll get the opportunity maybe to talk to that opposition. It's actually provoking you to recommit. Let's understand it in that context, because correctly so, we have spoken about many things, rightly so, but we must not lose focus. The focus is about our debt to Eskom, but that cannot be looked at in isolation of other factors that might be there. So that's why we were discussing broadly, but it was merely saying, let's remain focused. All right, Comrade Chilwane. Yeah, no. I'll move around. Let's say you have 10 minutes.
I won't even take 10 minutes, Chairperson.
Alright.
Yeah. I'm just going to ask think to about the municipality on the issue of people who have taken decisions and now they are no more there. I just wanted to check with the leadership of the municipality. What are the disciplinary measures that you have taken to correct the situation in terms of disciplining people, in terms of recovering monies that were spent unlawfully? How is the process on that case?
Thanks very much. On the issues of people who have committed the municipality and Julie, so we have communicated this to the province. That is our provincial treasury, whereby we have requested the intervention in terms of trying to cancel all the contracts that we view to be put in the municipality at the deep end. So the process, as we speak, is still underway because it's about 3 weeks that we have just done that, and then we are still waiting for the response.
All right.
Thank you, Mayor. But I just thought maybe one should overemphasize the issue of disciplinary measures. Because it can be that people will come in an institution or come in a municipality and mismanage finances, and then we just let them off the hook. Because in many instances, a person will mess from one municipality and move to another province, become an MM or become a CFO. So I think in terms of us to be able to correct the situation, should be able to follow up those people. If there are criminal charges should be pressed, or if people should, some of the things, they should repossess them. And then there are two municipalities. I think one is Governor Mbeki and the other one is Maluti Apufong. They spoke about one service provider, Vesta Pty Ltd, which they've terminated the services. I just want to check. I know that you mentioned that it's the National Treasury, that they came through National Treasury. But I think even the municipality have got some information. How much have you paid that service provider? And because they didn't do anything in both the municipalities, how are you going to recoup the money? Because surely that money, we can use it to pay off some debts. From the two municipalities, they can respond, Chairperson.
Yeah. Let's start with Maluta Pofung, and then we'll go to Karen Bick.
Thanks, Chair.
When we terminated it, the municipality had already paid 3.3 million. But this matter is now handled by the lawyer, so we had to terminate. And then now we are now pushing for the litigation to try and check what has been done so that we can recover that money.
All right. Governor Mbeki.
Thank you, Chairperson. For Governor Mbeki, it was a tripartite agreement with Sasol, and the amount paid was 9.6 million paid by Sasol. By the time we terminate, Governor Mbeki had not paid even a cent. And after termination, there was an invoice of close to 4 million by the service provider, and Governor Mbeki has since refused to pay that amount. With the recovery process, we are engaging with Sasol that we need to recoup this money. The matter is going to the legal teams of the two entities, Governor Mbeki and Sasol, in trying to recoup the money.
All right.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
That's fine. Let's go, please.
Thank you. The other question in relation with service providers. I know in some municipalities you have service providers, but I didn't hear anything in terms of when you were presenting all the municipalities. Maybe it passed me out. You've got municipalities that will enter into agreement with some service providers for debt collection. And I didn't hear anything in terms of that in all the municipalities. There's one municipality. So the other nine municipalities, don't you have any debt collectors? Because it becomes a problem if municipalities are unable to collect while there's someone who's doing services for you to collect money. We just need an honest answer, because if you don't get it, maybe people will phone tomorrow to tell us that no where service provide. Do we have any other municipality? Mfuleni. Ngwatheni.
It's all bottle.
How much are you paying them each of that you have?
It's not even about paying honorable member. We have two instances where the municipality engaged the services of debt collectors who worked on average for a month, and as we are sitting, remember they have not done anything within a month, but they are sitting with settlement agreements amounting to 15 million rand each. So this is the kind of unjustifiable settlement agreements I was referring to. So it's raining.
Can you just balance it, or 15 million yeah.
Agreement that was made then, but nothing has yet been paid. There are constant contestation to say, you are talking crap, sorry for my language, but that's what we are telling them, or no, you are trying your luck. So you can see there is conniving between service providers and officials who should be taking care of municipalities. So we call it looting.
The language that is not desirable in this committee. That one is not a desirable one. Mfuleni, you said you've got a debt collector. How much are you paying them? Are you yielding any results? There's value for money for that?
Thank you very much, Chairperson. If there's a contract that collapsed, contributed towards the financial collapse of Mfuleni, was that contract called the debt collection contract? But we are in the process of exiting terms of the contract, conducting a thorough audit so that we can realize the financial returns of that contract, including subjecting it to a review. The way the contract was structured, it was structured in a way that the debt collectors will be entitled to even the current account. And if you are a debt collector, you must collect at least 30 days and above. But the way the current contract was structured in a way that they were entitled to even the current account. But when it was subsequently cancelled, the what do you call, the settlement fee was about 400 million rands. So Mfuleni has been paying that amount for the past, should I say 3 years, Executive Mayor? So we've been paying that amount. We are only left with about 15 million or so. But we've taken a decision as part of our when council approved the 2017-18-19 budget, they said all contracts must be reviewed. So one of the key contracts we are going to be reviewing is this one, including a thorough audit so that we can trace back our money on this one. So we know we are not in the business. We really wanting to internalize credit control, debt collection. So in future, we say we want to phase out all the services. We're wanting to do it internally. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I hope it's only the dream of and Governor Mbeki.
Yes. In Governor Mbeki, I think it's a similar situation with the Mfuleni municipality. That service provider was robbing the municipality on also charging on the current account, and again it goes to the former senior management of the municipality who put the municipality into trouble, where a service provider had to even to collect or to be paid on the current account for the customers who are paying money. So we ended up terminating. The matter is in court, and we're waiting the outcome of the court, but the contract is expiring in August. We hope that we'll be successful and try to internalize, as I've presented, that these services will now be conducted internally, because these service providers has ripped the municipality apart. Thank you, Chairperson.
I think there was a hand by Matt.
Thank you, Chair. For Maluti, I'm not going to talk about the past. We are now in the engagement with the service provider for this particular purpose. But we are very much careful, because we want to cleanse the debt and make sure that we only give that 90 days upwards, so that we don't pay commission on the current account in the 30 days. So, but we are negotiating even at a 10% commission on what they collect for 90 upwards, and we're not going to pay more than that. Yeah, but we are very close to signing an agreement with that service provider.
Chairperson, with your indulgence, maybe if they can send us the names of those service providers and the money that they are contracted to, for purpose of us reporting. Chair, I think I'm having the last question. The last question goes to, I don't know whether it's Governor Mbeki and Lekwa. The municipalities that have got they've got cases in courts, and businesses are now paying Eskom directly. The question that I want to ask, while business pays directly to Eskom, what's happening in terms of your main account as a municipality? Do you see it and say the customer is paying direct to Eskom or not paying and accumulate interest? I just want to understand that part of you, because I heard somebody when they were presenting talking about the holiday payment, because last when we had Eskom, they said some municipalities, when there are those agreements, they now sit and relax and not pay. That was referred to as a payment holiday. I can't remember which municipality, but I think it's Lekwa and thank you.
I'm not saying that is so. I'm saying that is the municipality that was alleged. Inba, can you talk to that? Or it happened before your time?
Chair, we inherit everything, you know. So, but Malasen, you are paying, chairs. We indicated on our presentation. Yes, of course, we do have challenges in terms of payments, but we do make some daily payments of 2 million, 3 million, depending on the income that we have received. Of course, sometimes during the month, maybe then we have to start reserving some funds for salaries payment, but we do pay ESCOM. On the issue of businesses that are going to pay directly to ESCOM, Malahleni, we've got a case that is set down for 21st of June, next week Friday, that will be heard in the High Court. Basically, it's a group called the Save Malahleni that is urging or requesting that the business in Malahleni must pay directly to ESCOM, but we are opposing that application. And one interesting part about this group that is saying Save Malahleni, the main leaders of that group are owing the municipality. We discovered that themselves they are owing the municipality. We will see next week Friday what will happen, but we are opposing the application.
Okay. All right. Comrades.
Chairperson, sorry. Lekwa? There's no.
Thank you, Chairperson. Lekwa also has had the same problem with four companies that are paying directly to ESCOM in terms of the order. So what is happening is they are paying, the bill that they are paying subsidize about 50% of the bill that, plus minus 50% of the bill that we should be paying in the current account. So we had an agreement with ESCOM to also pay on a weekly basis, and we also pay other accounts. It's just that because of the financial viability of the institution in terms of our cash flow, we do default now and then, but the payments are still continuing. And we intend challenging the order that was given by the court and put for an application for rescission, because the challenge that we have is that the money is going directly, which also include part of our profit. And also, as it has been indicated, it creates a challenge then, because we need to then go and adjust the accounts of the customers, because they went further to go to court and say, as an institution, irrespective of whether the money is going directly into our account, that money should be acknowledged. So that profit that should be coming in terms of the tariffs that we levied is not coming to us. So we're planning to go for a
rescission. So you want the judgment to be rescinded. Does it mean that when they went to court, you did not oppose their application? No, simply yes or no.
There were complications, but unfortunately, Chair, it was before my time, but there were complications in terms of what was proposed at the time and what the...
I'm talking about going to court. When they went to court, did the municipality not oppose the application?
No, Chair, it didn't at the time.
All right. No, I want us to do this. The MEC thought it was going to be a morning affair and may have issues with logistics. So I want to suggest that maybe we allow him a minute or two on the issues that he might already have picked up that he was going to talk to us before we can release him, and then we can continue with our normal engagement.
Thanks, Honorable Chairperson. I wish to start by saying that I'm a month in the office. We have established a team between COCTA, Treasury, and the Premier's office. The essence is to start to look at programs that must assist with capacity in municipalities. Firstly, is to deal with fiscal discipline. And the top on the issue of fiscal discipline is consequence management. And we have instructed our legal team to look into the contracts of municipal managers, so that we have the contracts in such a way that municipal managers would have to take responsibilities of for instance municipalities getting disclaimers and such a bad conduct of management. So it's one of the things. We have also requested municipalities to submit list of litigations that each municipality might be having, you know, because we think it's also some of the problems that are, you know, working as holes where the monies of municipalities you know are going through. In most cases, you'd find that the municipalities lose cases where you know they could have avoided, you know, such litigations. So we said we need to get each municipality must then submit a list of litigations that municipality might be having, so that we can have a proper legal advice in terms of what course of action can be taken, so that we avoid unnecessary cost against municipality. We it is true that we have municipalities owned by government departments. In the Committee of Premier's Coordinating Forum, we have had an agreement on payment plan with all municipalities in relation to how all the departments, you know, are going to pay back the money that they are owing to municipalities. So there is that agreement between municipalities and the provincial government in terms of the payment plan. We are also looking into the payment structure of all the municipalities to ensure that bulk suppliers are paid by municipalities, so that we avoid a situation where we have every time a crisis between a bulk supplier and municipality, either in terms of electricity or water. So those are some of the issues that we are really looking into, so that we ensure that we improve governance in all municipalities. That's briefly what I can raise at the moment, Chairperson.
All right. Thank you very much. But I suppose so far you have heard where the comrades were going to in terms of their line of questioning, in terms of some of the issues that we are concerned about. That should inform the work going forward. Today it was more about paying ESCOM. How do we ensure that municipalities are able to pay ESCOM, so that when we deal with ESCOM in terms of other issues, they must not raise municipalities as part of the challenges that they face. Right. No, it was Comrade Kuno meant brought aside, and then be yourself. We would want to release you, Comrade MEC. I don't know, Basim Kule, because the notice that we've sent said the meeting will end at 4:30. Now, if you are going to leave before 4:30, that might be a bit problematic, because all these other people, yes, Comrade Kekane has spoken from Gauteng, but we also have an interest in Gauteng, so we want to talk to you. Yeah, I think if your MM then sort it out, see how you sort it out and come back to me, so that we are able to continue in peace with the meeting. Okay, Comrade Kuno.
Thank you, Chairperson, and thanks for this time. And once again, welcome to our colleagues in the municipalities. As you said, that when we come out of after Cape Town, we have to go back to our municipalities. So it's in our own interest as the committee to make sure that there's stability in each and every municipality in the country, 273 municipalities around the country. And we cannot overemphasize what Eskom has said. Eskom has also said that if we do not address the non-payment, it's going to affect a lot of things. It's going to affect ourselves as people, because then it means we are irresponsible. We want to use services that we know that we are not going to pay for. It's going to affect our communities. For you to give them electricity, you need to make sure that it's paid. If it's not paid, then it means that none of these municipalities are going to improve in anything that they want to improve on. So it's very important to make sure that we pay so that there is stability in the country and we can attract as many tourists as possible. And people, when they look at us, they can look at us as a country that has got responsibilities, is taking responsibilities, and we're doing what we are supposed to be doing. That's my first comment. And Chairperson, you know, when we listen to the deliberations throughout the day, the main thing that, you know, I think it's one of the municipalities, I don't remember who said that, you know, during apartheid, we said to people, don't pay electricity because of a reason. We're trying to frustrate the system. But I think the problem with all of us, not only with councillors, with us, all of us as politicians, was that going back to the communities and actually saying to them, inculcate that culture of saying, let us take responsibility. If you do not pay for your services, then it means you're not going to have services. I think it's one thing that we should all look forward to. You know, tomorrow when we meet with the IMC, it's the communication that we need to send to everyone in the country. And Chairperson, maybe where I want to start is the stealing of electricity. Most of the municipal managers who knows that there's been people have been stealing electricity, they've even said that here, proudly so. The question that remains in my mind, and I think everybody who's been listening, is that if you know that there are Ntabiseng Kuno is stealing electricity, why don't you let the law take its course? I mean, there's so much that we can do, all of us, up to, because there's separation of powers. We can do up to this level, and somebody else has to take that bait from that level to another level. But the first thing is that, why are we not involving police? We don't have to have service providers, because if we want to really cut costs, because there's a need, we don't have money in different municipalities, then if we get more somebody else to come and do it on our behalf, it's not going to help. So maybe if we can ask two municipalities, why are we not involving police when people are stealing electricity? Especially because you know them. If we can ask each and every municipality that is here, it's 10 municipalities, if they can tell us what is their plan to eliminate, or how many from their database, how many people have been stealing electricity, and what have you done as an administrator to make sure that, or as a politician in deployed in that municipality to make sure that you municipality gets what it's supposed to be getting.
All right, Tawachu.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think when the MM was presenting, he raised the issue of the police. We've got the revenue enhancement team that we are having in Tabachu. He even said when we inform police, they come and they ran away. We mentioned that in our presentation. And I want to say that even the police, they are part of the problem, because they are part of the land invasion that are in our areas. Thank you.
Okay, Machabin.
Thank you, Chair. You see, I wish one day these members can become councillors. That is my wish. You see, Chair.
Sorry, point of order, Chair. You're making aspersions on us. Many of us here were councillors. I was a councillor. Ross was a councillor. He's casting an aspersion that we don't understand the work. Many of us come from this background. Please, that is an aspersion on us that we don't understand what's going on. We know full well what's going on in municipalities, Chair.
All right. Okay. Well, make your point. Let's take that preface.
Okay, Chair. But I was trying to say, Chair, what the comrade was saying here, or a colleague, is true. The police, you can do that, they will run away. We have tried to put everything to make sure that, can you do this thing? They are not assisting the police. If I can just, unfortunately, I didn't bring it the letter that I wrote to the Minister of Defense. When the so-called Zamazama taking begin to see that, and maybe that Ross knows what is happening in Velcom. I wrote a letter to the minister. Minister responded to me, what must I declare war? The police, there was an exchange of a war or of a battle between the police and the Zamazama. Life. So it's beyond the municipality. That's why I was raising, I wanted to respond on the question raised by Honorable there. That says, are you going to pay the municipality the plan? Chair, I think let us be honest to ourselves. When we get out here, I want to give a background. Remember when we met with the former minister and the same issues that we're raising today, the issues that were raised by that time. So we are coming up here as these mayors and MMs request a bail, an assistance, as you are assisting the SA. But I'm trying to make a situation that we'll get out here, assuming that the municipality is going to pay. Tomorrow, ESCOM is going to cut. We are, it's like you're striking a blood from a stone. We are unable. We are unable. So that's why we're coming to say, as you agree, there, I think, Chair, we must be able to say, can ESCOM take a decision and say, write off? Write off this interest rate that is the, I'm paying 174 million on interest rate. There was one municipality who was talking, I can't remember. And say, budget versus expenditure is a challenge. It's like simplified, Chair. You are having 20 rand. You want to buy shoes for your child. You are having three children. You have to pay this month this child. You leave this month. Next month you pay. That is the situation the municipality is happening. So I'm trying to say, with due respect, we want to pay. We want to. I'm happy that Rose is saying that the municipality is from ever since under the disclaimer today is unqualified. We make means to say people, but the issue, if I'm having just 57 unemployment rate, what are you expecting from the, there's an area charge that they're called Pumla Mqash in Velcom.
I think that the message that the mayor is sending out, that is to the public, is wrong. Because the mayor is trying to justify that they are not going to pay ESCOM.
No, sir.
That statement that we are trying to push you, that is to pay ESCOM, it is highly irresponsible. What we are saying is as parliament, it is your responsibility, that is to pay ESCOM. You are getting electricity from ESCOM, and the community must also pay you. That is the message that we want to communicate. But for a leader to come to a meeting here and clearly indicate to us that you are not going to pay ESCOM, it is highly irresponsible.
Okay. No, sir, with right. due respect, I'm not okay. saying that. Can you listen to what I'm saying? With
all right.
due respect.
Okay.
No, I'm trying
No, it's fine. Let's leave it at that. I think you have put the... In fact, you should have stopped at that point of the police not assisting, even writing to the Minister of Defense, because that is what was responding to the actual question. I think the other issues related as they are were now beyond the narrow confines of that question. We've got that point.
Yeah, thanks, Chairperson. I think if you want to conclude on the police matter, the reports that the mayors are talking about, we need to get those reports. We'll get into the bottom of that. We'll deal with those police. And I think it's our duty as legislators to make sure that police do what they are employed to do, that is to make sure that the country is safe. If they're the ones who are making us unsafe, we have to deal with that. And in Scopa we deal with specific issues. If you talk about the report, we want to see that report. We want to see those reports that you have about the that you took to the police and they're not doing anything, and the proof actually that they're the cause of that, so that we can deal with it. And we promise you, as Scopa, we will deal with it. We will get into the bottom of that. Chairperson, then let's go to the DG. You have a municipality, Naledi municipality, that their salary bill or what they have as a municipality is their budget. Salary bill, electricity bill is way exceeds the actual budget that they have as a municipality. And I remember, maybe before I even talk about that, the government started in 1994. It didn't start now after this election. So we shouldn't make everything like it's new. We are starting the new thing because we've just come out from the elections. I think it's not only the problem with the municipalities, even in government. When there's a new minister and then the minister that comes in, they do. It's like nothing has happened before I came in. So because I'm there, things are starting to happen, and that's why it's always important to take the right things that has happened and make sure that you dwell on that and improve the services going forward. Here's a municipality, Naledi municipality. And the municipalities from mining. I'm from Welkom. And I know and understand the situation very well. When the mines destopped and everything, I was there. I know how it affected the communities in Welkom. And it affected them very badly. So, I know that Comrade Des, when he was a minister, he actually had programs to say, this is how we're going to help the municipalities that are in distress. And I'm not sure if, as part of the report that you are going to give us this afternoon, that you said is already available, how are you going to help those kind of municipalities? The municipalities that we know that whatever we do, they are not going to be able to pay those debts. What are we going to do about that?
Okay, thank you, Chairperson. I think in terms of the succession of the leadership, maybe at the political level and so on, I must clarify the fact that indeed the government has always had a program of supporting municipalities. Now, they might have called it different names, but for example, the one that is in place now is what is commonly known as Back to Basics. Where it's a plan to support municipalities according to our analysis of their situations. Now, the new minister, Dr. Zweli Mkhize, he didn't necessarily start his new program. He is actually continuing with the Back to Basics program, but just that now the emphasis is on being hands-on now. Going into those municipalities and say, okay, this is the problems they have, and deploy. In the short term, in some cases, we actually get what we call the rapid response team to go and address the matters. Now, in the northwest, of course, there was this problem where most of them, I mean, of all the 22 municipalities, when we did the diagnostic analysis, we amongst other things, we found that 20 out of the 22 actually had bad audit outcomes, which means from qualified down to disclaimer and so on. Only two were performed better in terms of that. So generally, that was the picture in the Northwest. Now, of course, Naledi is of course one of those that were found to be struggling a bit, but not at the level of Disobota. Okay, now we have a plan not only for these 10 municipalities, but because we don't only look at the extent to which you are able to pay your creditors and so on, but we look at the municipality as a whole. And we have categorized that in three terms: financial management, governance, and service delivery. Those are the areas where really there are problems. I mean, for example, in Disobota, we found that there was sewer spilling all over and so on. And now that's a serious service delivery problem. But then you go to the grant, which was going to assist, you know, to deal with that infrastructure problem and so on, and find that the grant has been used for other things. So now we have a plan on Disobota, exactly what we should be doing there. There are serious governance problems, and governance means administration as well as political. So you have problems at a political level and also administratively. Financial management, the systems are basically not there. As the MM, the acting MM, now he is the acting MM, but when we were there last month, he was the CFO, acting CFO. So it's also just a Hollywood kind of situation. So financial management, there's no capacity there. Service delivery, you have sewer spilling all over. So as a result, as the inter-ministerial task team on Northwest, what we have done with this over was to get together even the army engineers, so to deploy them there to get that sewer system to work. Because in the committee, the Minister of Defense said, you know, because there's no capacity there, why don't we, I have some capacity to engineers with the army and to get there and assist. Now, so right. Now we plan to be hands-on.
Okay, that's fine. So there is a plan to assist.
Yes.
All right, sure.
And just as part of those plans to assist, the infrastructure aging, I think all the municipalities today that have spoken here talked about the aging of the infrastructure. And we all know that no matter what we do to try and help, if we don't deal with the infrastructure that has aged, we are not going to get anywhere. Do you have any comment on that?
Well, aging infrastructure is a problem in all municipalities, whether it's the metro, Johannesburg, the biggest, whether it's Cape Town, whether. So you have an infrastructure maintenance backlog. Okay? Now, I still have to see a municipality that would say, I've got enough resources to deal with infrastructure decay. Okay? Now, in the national fiscus, there's also no resources there to assist. Now, basically, to address that problem, you need to think outside of the box, because at Treasury, National Treasury will tell you, look, there's austerity measures, we have to spend less. Our debt to GDP ratio has gone skyrocketing and so on, so we need to spend less. Now, so you need to think outside of the box and say, what are we going to do? Because we need an infrastructure, a municipal infrastructure funding model that would work. Because otherwise, as you are busy with the existing and but you are not able to maintain, the situation is getting very dire.
All right.
So we need a model on just to focus on how are we going to fund infrastructure, municipal infrastructure.
Okay. Wanted to round up, comrades.
Yes, no, I'm saying, Chairperson, that we need to maybe find a way tomorrow of dealing with this. because I don't think it's a problem only for COCTA, but it's a problem across the, you know, the piping within the, I mean, water pipes in electricity. I think it's a serious problem, and if we don't deal with it, we're still going to have these problems come next year, because maintenance as well is very expensive. But Chairperson, I'm not sure what happened to. I think earlier on when we started, there was somebody from Eskom.
Yeah, he's still here.
He's still here. Hello. Oh, it's you. Yes. Chairperson, here's a municipality that says we are billing on behalf of Eskom. And instead of money coming to us, it goes straight to Eskom. And as a municipality, it could have helped us, because that profit was going to be profitable to us as a municipality. Just explain to us, how does that happen? Somebody bills on your behalf, you take the money, but somehow the person who's billing other people, they are not benefiting from that. Can you just explain that to me?
Thank you, Chair, Honourable Madam. I must admit I'm not 100% sure which municipality what you're referring to, because there's no municipality that builds on Eskom's behalf. But what I have heard is that, and it's true, that Ditsebotla, Lekwa, and now in Maluti Apofung, they're billing their customers, and the court order was that some of those customers pay directly to Eskom. So whatever they then pay into the Eskom account, we offset against what the municipality owes Eskom on the current account.
It's actually helping them to take off the debt. Is that what you are saying?
So what happens is, and I'm going to use an example, to say a customer is billed by the municipality for R1,000. You would pay R1,000 to the municipality, and the municipality might have paid R800 to Eskom. At this point in time, Eskom gets the full R1,000. The municipality owes us 10 million. So we get R1,000 instead of nothing, or instead of R800. So it's benefiting Eskom, we're getting some, but it's also to a degree benefiting the municipality, because the debt has been,
all right,
been serviced.
No,
but
Imran, wait, just talk to what benefits Eskom. Don't say it benefits the municipalities, because they are here. They might speak for themselves and have a different view. So it's fine. They pay directly to you, because that's what the court arrangements are. Yes. Yeah, that's what I wanted. Yeah, that's it.
I think at the end of the day, we really need to have Eskom coming back to the committee, because after we wanted to get the information that we are receiving today, and based on the information that we are receiving today, find a way of dealing with the matters. I mean, time plus five as an interest is a lot of money. And I think a lot of municipalities spoke about that. But to them, they're saying 15 days is difficult for them than 30 days. And I thought that interest is that the longer you take, it becomes more than the shorter you take to pay. But when you look at the realities again, it's difficult to deal whether it's shorter or longer. But what I wanted to conclude on, Chairperson, is the cost-cutting measures. That as well, if we're going to conclude as a committee and say maybe we talk about the interests and that, we need to look at the cost-cutting measures. Earlier on, Dr. Ross spoke about the irregular expenditures. We cannot say because it's municipalities, they have problems, so we're going to, you know, overlook their financial health or the audit outcomes of each and every municipality. The Auditor General has emphasized on that we really need to all open up as South Africans and actually say, what are we doing to make sure that we help municipalities? So I'm saying that we really have to have a bite again with Eskom getting all this information, but also look at the financial health of the municipalities that we are talking about here. Leave out the ESCOM debts, but let's look at the financial health of each and every municipality and find a way of, I mean, we are going to close now, we are going to recess. I think some of us are from, all of us are represented here in all the provinces. So we should find a way of helping each other and actually looking at how can we assist as members of parliament to make sure that at the end of the day, there's no poor planning and we capacitate the municipalities. Thanks, Chair.
Okay, sure. Comrade Mendy.
Thank you, Chair. Now, Chairperson, firstly, I just want to, I have some uncomfortability. Just want to dispel a myth. ESCOM is not a service provider. It's a state-owned entity that must generate revenue to assist the state and its sustainability. It also contributes to the economy of this country. So for municipalities and ESCOM to be bickering about who gets what and ESCOM be treated like a service provider, I think it's very wrong. That's one myth I wanted to dispel, Chair. And secondly, there's something common that I've picked up, the issue of revising the interest. When ESCOM was here last, they gave us a presentation on municipalities of the top 10. And most of those top 10, according to the AG, they are in the red except for Governing Bank. And all 10 of them today, they are giving us excuses of why they are not paying ESCOM. But they also owe AG, they owe SAF, some are also owing the water entities. Let me first go to Emma Lahlenich. I want to illustrate something, that some of these municipalities, when ESCOM was saying they are not honoring their payment agreements, ESCOM was actually giving us the honest side of the story. Let me give you an example with the presentations that they brought to us. Thaba Chweu Municipality, a municipality of only 14 wards. MM is barely new in the municipality. But when he took over, the bill was at 360 million, which is since now 431 million. Let's talk with this period. Did the MM and the mayor service the ESCOM account during his office term? Can I get that done?
Well, the MM seemed to be out of the room. But, oh, okay, he's here. Yeah, since you took over as the MM, how has the ESCOM bill been serviced?
Thank you very much, Honorable Member. With regard to the question, on a monthly basis, we are striving to make payments towards ESCOM account, but we are making payments. The challenge that we tried to raise was that what we are billing against, what ESCOM is billing us, it is of a challenge. We have set the issue of other charges that ESCOM is charging other than the normal tariff of your kilowatt hour. There are additional charges in terms of environmental levy, distribution levy. Those levies are making it difficult for us because we are only billing our customers mainly on the consumption charges, on your kilowatt hour and your KVA. So that makes it difficult for the municipality to fulfill the account in full in many occasions.
Did you go back to ESCOM and tell them that that's your challenge? Did you ask them to have a meeting with you where you were deliberating on your challenges so that you can, both of you, resolve the issue of payments amicable.
Yes, we had several engagement with ESCO, but their issue was that for them to be able to maintain their infrastructure, they are obliged to impose some levies. And in our application to NERSA, as we propose such kind of levies towards the towards our customers, it becomes a problem because NERSA says we cannot then just impose higher charges towards our customers. Then you find the municipality being in a dilemma of having to default on ESCOM's account.
Chair, this is exactly what I was trying to show earlier on. There has never been a common ground between ESCOM and the municipality. There is nothing whatsoever. This presentation that were given on the 15th of May by ESCOM and the municipalities, either the municipalities did not approach the appropriate institution to regulate whatever tariffs that you had to bill the people, or ESCOM did not do such. So which one of the two? Because what has brought us together today is how do you pay ESCOM? But you will still not pay ESCOM if ever you have such differences. And those differences are not coming to us and simplified as who is refusing to do what. Secondly, Chair, Emalahleni, it's quite interesting. The ESCOM bill escalated from 200 million to 1.6 billion. I'm struggling to understand how does it happen in the presence of everyone. There is an MM, there is administrators, there is a mayor, there is everything. How does it happen? Can we be at least be told how does it happen and how are you going to pay now?
Through you, Chair. In 2012-2013, the deficit was 58 million. And then the municipality was put under Section 139. And during that period, when there was an administrator for a period of almost 5 years, the administrator was in the municipality, he was running the municipality. Council was in like semi-suspended. That's why our problem happened during the administration period. Before the administration, the municipality was paying ESCOM. During the administration, the bill escalated. So it was the administration.
Right.
Of course, I can say it was the administration.
Okay. All right.
Who was in charge of the administration? Who was the administrator?
The administrator appointed at the time, it was Mr. Theo van Vuren, Theo Jansen van Vuren.
Is he here?
No, he's not,
not here. So, when you took over in office and you established all these things, what steps did you take in order to retrace how the budget was spent and how was ESCOM not paid? Because it can never be true that when the municipality is budgeting, ESCOM was left out. There was an allocation for ESCOM. Where did it go to? Why didn't it pay ESCOM? So today you are sitting with such a huge amount that you cannot pay on your own. Did you retrace budget? And what happened to Van Vuren?
Maybe let me start with the last question. Mr. Van Vuren was appointed as the administrator of the municipality. Thereafter, he became the municipal manager. And his term of office ended last year in August. However, the payment rate in Emalahleni went down. So the municipality also had a cash flow problems. For example, we closed our financial year last year with a deficit of about 385 million. So the question is, our payment rate is very low.
All right.
Okay. Even though I'm not satisfied, but just for progress, Ngwathe Municipality. You mentioned when you were doing your presentation that you are willing to pay a once-off settlement if the interest can be reviewed or written off. Do you have a once-off settlement now?
Thank you, Honourable Member. No, we do not. We've indicated that in our engagement with Eskom, they have indicated their willingness to consider the right of the interest if we could gather that amount. That was our presentation. The other part was also that in the current signed agreement that we have, there is a provision in that agreement also, as long as we keep to the payments, which is stipulated for every month until March 2024. The interest that is in the current account would be written back as we keep the payment. So that benefit is there. But if we were, my submission was, if we were to find a way of gathering some, finding some bridging finance, we would be able to save that interest. We are not by that means at present, Honourable Member. Thank you.
Now we have progress, Comrade Gekka. It means that if Eskom can have such an agreement with Ngwathe, they can have such agreement with everyone else. So the question is, did everyone else, perhaps, especially Ditsobotla, that is struggling with funding and collection of revenue, and Liko Municipality, the other one, which is depressed, if they can collect the capital amount, will Eskom write off the interest? Eskom, can you help us?
Chair, I'm tempted, but I'm not going to answer that question because I don't know the answer. But I would like to offer the following, that Eskom has offered all of these municipalities, not only the 10, but all of the other municipalities where they sign a payment arrangement with Eskom, and they continue to pay the current account and they adhere to the terms of that agreement, that we will suppress future interest going forward as long as they adhere. The moment they default, then we write back the interest. So that agreement is available to everybody.
Right. Okay, no, that's very different from what Ngwathe is saying.
What Ngwathe is saying, I need to go and find out because I don't have that detail.
Right.
But if you allow me, Chairperson, as well, I think I want to make it clear that Eskom is only charging rates as per agreed by NERSA. We're not adding any extra levies or surcharges for different municipalities. It's standard rates. We're regulated by NERSA, and that is what we charge all municipalities. For Emalahleni, Chair, just to give you an indication, from September, let's take September of last year, the average bill for Emalahleni was in the region of about 80 million rand per month. Of that, on average, they've only paid 35 million rand per month. So it's easy to see how the debt is escalating over a period of time. If you only pay half of what you've been charged, it's going to escalate. And then we charge interest on the outstanding amounts.
All right. Okay.
So, sorry, the final one I want to make clear. The 30 days, we've implemented 30 days for all municipalities on the 1st of July of 2017. I hear municipalities here talking about 15 days. It's not the case except for the metros where we reverted to 15 days on the 1st of December of 2017.
I'm not sure I'm understanding what he's saying, because there's two things, I'm understanding what very well. If you pay the capital, interest will be written off. But this one now, the arrangement is, if you pay what you were owing as capital plus interest, at the date of agreement, the future dates will be suppressed. Is it what you're saying?
Chair, correct. Let me say we're not charging any additional interest on that overdue amount as long as you adhere to the agreement.
But you are not considering revising the interest incurred from the capital amount owned on the day of making an agreement. There's a municipality which, I can't remember which one, that gave us a very big figure of interest. Which one is it? It gave us a big figure of interest. So if you consider reviewing that interest and you deal only with the capital, that's what I wanted to check at the date of signing the agreement. Is it possible?
Chair, there's various options which Eskom is currently considering, but it hasn't gone through the necessary governance processes, etc., so there's nothing that I can commit or divulge.
Yeah.
So, just, if you can't consider anything, what is your role then here? Is to come and be a flower in the port? Because we thought that, in fact, why I'm raising a point of order, half of what you are saying, your executive in Eskom came and explained some of these things here. And they were the ones who are pleading with us to assist to get the councillors to assist them. Now, if you deal with them with that attitude, you're not taking us forward. You're not helping us. I want a balanced view that accommodates also the councillors. But if you are going to talk in the way you are talking, as if you are lecturing us, I'm not being lectured by you. I'm not impressed. Because I hear this story from the executive, and I understand what is going on. So find a way of being able to accommodate in your views with what the council, the different councillors are expressing in front of us. And I think that's what they're sent for, to come and assist us to understand a little bit and how you can assist those councillors that are struggling. And this is why this honourable member is trying to get you to get to us, so that they have raised these things of interest. And what are you saying? When you say, I don't know, then there's no need for you to talk to us.
All right. Okay. No. I think my understanding, I'm sure that the gentleman was sent by Eskom to come and keep a watch, because anyway it affects them. I'm not sure, Ntombi, if we actually sent an invite to Eskom to come and participate. Yeah, so he did not come because we expressly invited him, and anyway he did not indicate what his position is at Eskom. So I find that he's not at a level where he can commit to issues that have not yet gone through governance processes. So I think let's bear with him. I thought we'll focus more on if NUMSA and the NUM were not picketing tomorrow. You know, in the afternoon we're supposed to have Eskom, but on deviations and expansions. But we're already receiving reports suggesting that as we are seated here, electricity supply might be in danger nationally. So we're not sure whether they will come or not, but we'll engage. No. Unless you want junior officials, that is their other offer. They can send junior officials to come and talk to those things. Anyway, Comrade Mente, continue.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Be that as it may, but it's very vague. And what I was trying to do was to assist the municipalities in order for them, when they leave here, they go and balance their books again to check. If Tabachoyo affords half of what you are asking them, how do you then revise your bill so that they continue paying what's affordable? than not to pay. And the picture that was painted by Eskom was that they are not honoring their payment agreements at all. They are paying, but they pay what they can get to. They can stretch their financial muscle as to so far as half of it. But if then they cannot assist each other, I don't know why we're asked to assist them. Okay, I have an interesting issue that I would like to find out from GM, which was then established by the AG in the last financial year. There's an official at GM who wasted money. You're owing Eskom, an official wastes 25 million. Appoints a service provider to deal with the infrastructure of a sewage. The infrastructure is of poor workmanship, but the contract was never terminated. Governor Mbeki. It was never terminated. We continue to pay for poor workmanship. We're owing Eskom, but we can waste 25 million. The drains, they still go out into people's houses. It spills over to people's houses. The infrastructure is still a mess. Can we get Governor Mbeki's view on it? Why can we spend so much money? Because you're going to have to find a second service provider to fix this mess. And that's another 25 million down the drain when Eskom is not being paid.
Thanks, sir. No, thank you, honorable member. I'm going to allow, I don't know if the acting MM did understand, but the question is about the 25 million on sewer that was spent, and the work did not happen. That's the question by the honorable member.
Okay.
You are owing Eskom, but you have a service provider who's done shoddy work, paid, and your problem is not fully resolved. So it's about financial prudence.
Thank you, Chairperson. The matter of sewer.
Well, the matter of financial prudence, because you may not have money to pay Eskom, but you're wasting money elsewhere. And that was just an example.
Well, since I've joined the municipality, that is not happening.
That issue, okay, so the issue of the sewer, fine, then maybe let's talk to that directly.
Yes.
If in the broader context you are okay with your finances.
Chairperson, perhaps this issue of us spending money somewhere, maybe I'll request the honourable member if to unpack it so that we can respond accordingly.
When you failed to do your disclosures to AG, AG came to your offices and assisted you. One of the things they found in your irregular expenditures was the wastage on sewer of 25 million. And that service was not provided in an excellent way. It was a very poor workmanship. The sewage is still spilling out. In fact, the status quo remains. The reason why the service provider was called was to fix the infrastructure. The infrastructure was not fixed. He bought whatever Hong Kong he bought, but you did not terminate his contract even when you were told this person's work is not up to standard. So the second part of it is, what did you do to that official who did not terminate, who authorized the wrong contract and did not terminate it?
Thank you, Chairperson. The concern raised, yes, there was some shoddy work done on sewer spillage. I think it's Emberland Extension 22, where shoddy work was done. the person responsible, the official responsible, has since left the municipality when his contract expired. And the service provider also is not in the municipality. Well, in as what happened, I may not be in a position to respond to that, but I'm aware that there are concerns which were raised by the AG in relation to that shoddy work or unsatisfactory work that was done there. And we are since now attending to that challenge, and the contractor has been introduced on site, fortunately today, to solve that problem. It was just been delayed by the design.
All right. No, that's fine. There's nothing fortunate, because you are going to pay that service provider after paying 25 million.
That money came from the provincial department.
So, that's public money. Does it matter?
So, did you get it back from the one who did the shady job?
We have not received. We have not got it back.
We have a criminal case at least, because that's a tag. It's taggery to come and buy improper, understandard things when you know you are supposed to be buying grade one. That's criminality.
It is one of the reasons why I've been brought to the municipality to improve on such instances.
Right.
I'm asking for a case number or at least some form of getting our money back, or the public's money, because not our money, it's a public place.
Yes, but the municipality is in the process of establishing the committee of all those irregular expenditure, so that we deal with it as raised by the AG, and it is part of our action plan.
Right, round up, comrade.
Chair, same applies to Tabat Chwew. You are pleading poverty. You cannot afford to pay Eskom. But you recently made procurements that somehow don't sit well with me. You procured cameras for 7.2 million. And then there were TVs for the municipality, and you outsourced on investigation. Can you explain why would you prioritize such?
Thank you very much, Member. I need to indicate that the municipality that I joined last year, May, still remains with a sea of challenges. Of course, indeed, 931,000 was spent on procurement of arms for forensic investigation purpose, because we wanted to establish your UIFW of 348 million dating back many years, because the municipality has been, you know, has encountered your unauthorized regular wasteful expenditure for many years, over 12 years. So we even got that request from the MEC of COCTA in the province to say it can't be business as usual, where, you know, recommendations will be made to MPEC to say this has happened, investigate. But when we made that assessment, the analysis led us to, you know, procuring expert services from companies that have the knowledgeability on doing that kind of verification, so that we can know exactly what was the cause for all of those irregularities. Forensic was procured. They did that. The the nature and character of the work justify the kind of money that we had to spend. So compliance in terms of taking this whole process, I mean, the other issue that was even raised on the same was, why did the MM not follow your normal process? I said, given the sensitivity of the issues to be dealt with, we had to go your Regulation 32 route. And it was my office that has to deal with that, because I could not risk having junior officials doing that procurement. My office has to deal with that. And it was also implicating a lot of people in the municipality. So we couldn't risk delegating that process of procuring. But I can confirm here, 931 was paid for AMS to do the investigation 5 years from 20 for 5 years. The second one is cameras. I'm sitting here as the accounting officer of the municipality that has lost so much of its properties. And these cameras are still being deployed in the whole environment to secure the property of the municipality. As the member may be well aware that it's my responsibility as the accounting officer to make sure the property of the state is secured. Before I started, the windy house in the municipality was burnt, was mysteriously burnt. So we lost a lot of documents. You will not then be able to account to the AG even when they come on board. But when you wanted to know how did this house decide to burn itself, nobody could tell you. But the municipality was spending a lot of money on security services. There was a point in the municipality where we had about more than 15 security services, security companies. You would have a company being paid a lot of money to guard just one transformer. Then you wanted to check, hey, my daughter, how possible can that be? So the intervention of the cameras was mainly to secure the property of the state.
Okay.
This?
All right.
What? I forgot.
The TVs. No,
the TVs, Chair. We procured, I think, I'm not sure of the figure, but it's less than 100,000 that we have spent on procuring the TVs. They are part of this whole deployment of your CCTV system.
All right, okay. Yeah. All right, that's fine. Round up, comrade. Comrade Mente.
Just a clarification on the figures. You're saying 943,000. 931,000 to investigate how much?
Switch on your mic.
5 years of your UIFW. 5 years. A period of 5 years.
Okay.
Isn't there any other institution that can assist you with that? Except outsourcing for so much money. Isn't there a government institution that can assist you with that?
Member of the committee, I know other people will say you may have, components such as your integrity commission in the Premier's office that could assist you with that. But remember, this necessity has always been in the province for all of those years before I even joined. The simple question is, why didn't it happen? So given the challenge in hand at the time, we wanted credibility to this whole process that I was required to undertake. So I couldn't risk, I couldn't risk this thing. Hence, what came out as the best option was to get, a private entity that, for me, will not even be, implicated in this whole thing.
Okay. All right.
Thanks. No, my last one is Naledi. When the gentleman made the presentation, you mentioned 250 million debt, which no one bothered to pay, but there was budget. So the person who did not bother to pay what did they use the budget for, even if they were paying a fraction of that amount? Because you said, you explicitly said, nobody bothered to pay. So the person who was sitting with the budget at the time, doesn't matter how little it was, where did they take the money to if they didn't bother to do anything?
Okay, yeah.
Thanks, Chair. I'm not sure, Majoro, how I should answer this question because I can't answer on behalf of that person who is not in the employ of the municipality any longer, both the CFO and the municipal manager. But my little understanding of the budget is that it's a financial plan of a municipality for a particular period. And if there is no cash in the bank, even if you can have a good plan, you will not be able to implement the budget. I think it's just unfair for us to say we can answer the question because we're not there. Both of us were not there when ESCOM was not paid.
All right.
Chair.
Yeah.
You know, it helps us a lot. I think the way SCOPA operates, we don't operate at a level where we are vague with answers. You know who was the mayor, you know who was the municipal manager. Your books are there. They tell you where, how much money did the municipality have at the time. They show you where the money was channeled to. So the money was not channeled to ESCOM. Or if there was money meant to be channeled to ESCOM, where did it go to? That's what I'm trying to get. And if they are not here or they are here, that's immaterial. They were part and parcel of public sector, which is supposed to provide service delivery. The moment you are under the bill, the payroll of the state, you are accountable even if you had gone for 10 years. If by that time the issues arise, you are still accountable for them. Doesn't matter they are here or not here.
All right. Comrade Mayor, because I would imagine a question arises in the context of you come in, ESCOM has not been paid, you try to look back on your records and say, but what happened? I think that's the essence of the question. Instead of money going to ESCOM, where was it diverted to?
Chair.
Yeah.
Okay, maybe let me also explain this before I go to where the money...
No. Talk to where the money went to.
I said we've got a high salary bill in the municipality, where the money went to. I said we've got the traffic, where it's generating not more than 2 million. But we pay more than 12 million for the services of traffic. I also referred to the library services. I also referred to the issue of fire department to say fire is not bringing anything to the municipality, but we're spending more than 12 million.
All right.
So those are some of the things.
Great.
I
that's okay. Better.
Okay.
Right. That's better. Brother Sir?
Thank you, Chair. It's been a very long wait. All right, Chair. Let's go to our friends from Tavachu. Tell me, why was it necessary to bring five members down with you on the strip? And why was it necessary bring the mayor's driver with on the strip to Cape Town? Where's Vusi? Is he here? The mayor's driver. I was just wondering why he had to come down as well. Can I have an answer?
Thank you very much. I must indicate that before we flown here, the mayor had other commitments. So it was quite imperative that she brings with a driver. The three other members,
It's me and the two colleagues from administration.
Yeah, those are the ones that are relevant. And why is the trip costing 68,000 rand? You misunderstand, I'm talking to you in the context of you not being able to pay Eskom. So that means I have to look at the debtor's conduct. And your conduct in this regard is shocking. You come down with the mayor's driver. You spend 68,000 rand on this trip. How long are you here for? How many days? And I really would ask you to take it seriously. I see you're laughing at me. Please take this seriously. This is SCOPA. This is not IMPAC. This is not provincial SCOPA. This is serious. Please take it serious and give me an answer. Thank you.
The Honourable Member, maybe that's how I look. I'm taking the appearance before this committee very seriously. I will verify the amount of money spent. But it should also be appreciated that the chauffeur and the driver are part of the mayor's package. So, and given the the risk associated with the kind of work she's doing and what I've earlier alluded to from the municipality where we come from, I don't think I'll be a responsible accounting officer to risk.
So the people who want to threaten the mayor travel to Cape Town as well. Is that what you're saying? I'm talking to a situation where a municipality spends as they want to. I understand people dying. I understand that very much. I come from KZN. We have a lot of political killings. I understand this. The point is, please be frugal in your spending so that we can sort this out. Now, if we can move on, because I don't have a long period of time. You submitted a schedule of payments today. Now, they relate from basically interaction between yourself and Eskom from July through to May this year. Now, if I look at the schedule of payments, in August, you were billed 22 million, you only paid 342,000. But you collected in the same month, you collected 13 million. I'm just selecting certain ones. In November, you were billed 12 million. You collected 12 million and you only paid 3 million. In February this year, you were billed 12 million. You collected 11 million and you only paid 2 million. In April, you were billed 13 million. You collected 13 million. You actually collected more than you were invoiced and you paid zero. Nothing in that month. And then on the 18th of May, you were billed 15, you collected 12, and you only paid 1.8 million. Can you explain to me that shortfall that you didn't pay over? That is direct Eskom money. That is direct money that people are paying your municipality for electricity. In other words, that's the money that should go to Eskom. What are you using it for?
The Honourable Member, what I can indicate is that it needs to be appreciated that when one was given the background on this municipality, when we made presentation, one, this municipality has been going through rough waters. I'll give you an example where one day such set more than 130 workers, just wake up to find themselves managers, promoted without human resources processes being followed. I don't want to sound like an irresponsible accounting officer to say I was not there. So we inherited a bad history. So we were over-contracted. I've made a bad name of myself concerning some of the service providers who had to be terminated because their services were not necessary. We were over-committed. So, unfortunately, we're limited of time. We could have taken you through the journey where the municipality comes from 10 years back. And now we are in a situation where you're robbing Paul to pay Peter. Now, the profit we are making from this commodity, electricity, is also subsidizing other things so that the business can keep flowing, we are struggling. And we are trying to, bring back this municipal operations to normal.
Okay, thank you. Russ, you have recently completed a forensic investigation, forensic audit of the municipality, but you refuse at the moment, Mayor. You refuse to hand it over to council. I'm assuming council paid for it. Can you explain to us why the forensic report has not been made public or handed over to council? And this is a question I'd also like to extend to all other municipalities here. Those that are busy with forensic investigations, why have they not been made public or handed over to council at the very least? The current forensic investigation you've just finished, where is it?
Thank you very much, Member. I think the forensic report was tabled to council. AMS presented the forensic report to council. And we take a resolution that there must be an implementation plan. Now we are busy dealing with the implementation plan.
Okay, can you provide that forensic report to SCOPA then, please? SCOPA may ask for any information, call any witness in relation to the expenditure of public accounts. So your answer now should be yes.
Member, I think in the forensic report, there are still names of people. So we can...
Well, it doesn't matter if they stole public money. What's secret about criminals? There's nothing secret about criminals as far as we're concerned.
I'd like to remind you, this is the Standing Committee for Public Accounts. Every single cent that goes out from the national fiscus, every single cent, we can ask anybody to account before this committee for every single cent. That's that simple. So when will we be able to get a forensic copy of that forensic report? And chair all other forensic reports that are completed by the municipalities present.
What it needs to be indicated at the time when
No, that's not his question. His question was, when can we get that report?
The forensic report could be availed to the committee. But what I wanted to add was when this report could not be made public was the time when I requested the council to allow me space to consult with all the people who were implicated.
All right. No, that's fine. But subsequent to that, it was taken to council.
Yes.
All right. No, that's fine.
Okay, Chair. Thank you. I think it's important, Chair, and just to save a bit of time later, if I could ask that we are aware that there are a number of municipalities here today that have engaged in forensic reports that have either completed or recently completed. We're obviously not asking about current ones, but we would like to have the details of all the forensic reports because they speak, once again, Chair, to the conduct of the debtor. So please, I'm not going to ask the question, but you all know who you are. Can we please get those reports to SCOPA through the chair, obviously. See, I want to quickly go to this Vesta issue. Maluti Apufung and Gordon Mbeki. Now, the question I want to ask to the two MMs, yourself, why, so am I right in understanding that Vesta came in? I understand they were approved by Treasury, so you adopted them in good faith. And I understand from your descriptions earlier that they operated for a period of about 6 months or so and delivered nothing. It just doesn't make sense to me. Why wasn't it picked up in the first month? Hang on a second, these guys aren't billing. Nothing's happening. So that's the first question. Why was it not interdicted very quickly to say, hang on a second, you promised something and nothing's happening? And then if we consider that the amount you're talking about, the 300 million odd, could have been sitting in your accounts earning interest. I really don't think, and this is for Governor Mbeki as well as at the back there, we should not be thinking about what Sasol paid them and it didn't cost the municipality money. Think about the possible lost revenue that you would have had in your accounts, and I'm sure you can establish exactly what that was. But that is damage. Okay? And that is damage that you suffered because you should have had, if it was an issue of specific performance and they delivered at a certain period of time, you can reasonably assume that money would have been in your account and you would have earned X amount of interest. Have you considered trying to recover on that basis at all? Maybe we can start with Governor Mbeki at the back there.
Thank you, Chairperson. Yes, the target was to have the financial system alive on the first month of the financial year, which was July. Unfortunately, that target could not be met by the service provider, Vesta. We then engaged on a number of meetings. When I joined the municipality in August, I engaged with them because the municipality was unable to bill. After realizing that the engagement was not successful, we then brought in provincial treasurer to assist us. That did not yield results. We then involved national treasurer.
But what do you mean? You engaged them, that did not yield results? I mean, you have contracted people to deliver certain things. Come month end, they have not delivered.
Yes, that is correct. But the support was not there from both treasuries. Up until we took a decision that I'm terminating and I've terminated.
Sorry, can I just interrupt there, Chair? Are you telling me that you wrote to Treasury and said you guys recommended Vesta Technical Services? And I've done my research. You know, there was a panel of about 8 suppliers, right? And they were actually the last of the list. and Treasury just ignored you. Do you have letters that Treasury wrote to you or you wrote to them? Because, you know, the other end of this as well is now people, and I understand you're going to have to now catch up this billing. I mean, I hope people are they getting 6 months of worth of bill in one go? Because that's pretty hectic on any person to receive that. I know that they're delinquent as well. They should have realized I'm not being billed. But I hope you're making arrangements. But do you know what I'm saying? I mean, do you have documentation from Treasury saying, we wash our hands of this thing?
What happened is that the due diligence team, which is a steering committee, when they did a due diligence on evaluating, they recommended Moonsoft, and then they submitted their recommendation to National Treasury. But the advice that came from National Treasury was that Vesta was a suitable service provider. They then changed their decision. By then, I was not part of the municipality. But when I arrived, I realized that this Vesta was taking the municipality nowhere because the billing, which was a backbone, could not be produced. Hence, we then engaged with all treasuries for a period of...
Yeah, but this question...
Yeah, documents, yes, we've changed. The emails are there. Everything is there. We can produce
it. All right,
it.
So from, firstly, your recommended service provider, the letter you sent to Treasury of your recommended service provider, as well as the letter of recommendation from National Treasury for this.
Yes.
And all the other correspondences that you...
Yes.
We would like you to send those to us, all of them.
Okay.
From start right up to the end.
Thanks, Jay. Can we go to Maluti, please?
No, thanks, Chair. As I've indicated, I started on the 22nd of February as an administrator. At this point in time, we have written a letter to the previous acting municipal manager to give us reasons why we can't take disciplinary actions against him because of those particular things. But what I did, which I can provide to the committee, I wrote an email to Jan Hatting explaining the challenges and everything that I picked up there. The response that I got from them, I'll just confirm, I think it was a letter which they wrote to the municipality says, you can participate in the RT 25 tender. So that's the only thing. So, but I can avail that particular email and they respond. I couldn't wait too long. I had to make a decision, especially because there was no money. That's why then I asked them whether I can then reinstate the previous one because it's also, even though it's not in the panel, but it's the best system, Evenus. So what I did to take a good decision is, let's then do everything in the old system. It was quicker than going through the M score. So we suspended the M score, went back to that. Yeah.
Right.
So
I can
do you have firms of attorneys in Maluti, Upper Fong, or Mary Smith? You have firms of attorneys there. You have lawyers there. But any kind of letter I want to see from you, sir, is a summons to Vesta, asking them to appear in civil court, to pay back the money that was spent on them, and to pay back the interest that you would have had in your accounts. That's what we really need to go for. And I understand you're new in that position, but I really would like you to give us assurance that you're going to investigate that aspect and see, consult attorneys, see whether or not you can get any money back there, please. Because they didn't perform. They said they were going to do something, they didn't do it. As a result, you've suffered pecuniary loss, you've suffered financial loss of the money that could have been in your account at the time. You know, interest is a big target in any financial system.
No, I can make a commitment. Currently, the state law advisor is actually looking into that particular matter. So I can then make it a point that we make those letters available, definitely.
Chair Antonelady, Mr. Bloom, my information is that you were appointed irregularly. You didn't meet the minimum requirements for your appointment, and the minister didn't waive those requirements. Can you comment on that? And also that your salary was increased by 348,000 rand without council approval. Can you comment on any of that, please? Should you actually be in the job you're in, sir?
Chair, can I comment on my appointment? Because I did not appoint myself, it's council who appointed me.
Is the mayor here? Can the mayor comment?
All right.
This is an issue, Chair, because first of all, we have a city manager that may well be irregularly appointed, illegally appointed, and also we have my information is a huge salary increase without council approval. Once again, speaks to frugality when we try to pay an Eskom bill.
The one of the salary, Chair, can provide it.
Yeah, just switch on your mic.
It's on, Chair.
Well, then speak to it. Speak to the mic.
Okay. Chair, what we can indicate to the committee is that the salary was not increased. My salary has just been paid according to the upper limits as determined by the minister. It's not increased or been paid otherwise like any other. So we just stick into what the minister is saying should be the salary at the upper limit. So that is what I can provide to the committee as it relates to the
salary. All right, okay.
The mayor can talk to it.
All right.
Yes, can I agree that the question of the appointment, I'll give you all the documents, which confirms that the appointment was done correctly.
Chair, I'm happy with that, if that
okay.
can be provided.
Sure.
Right. Chair, final two issues, very quickly. I would like to ask, Chair, that all municipalities present today submit to SCOPA a statement of how much of their equitable share, what percentage of the equitable share that they receive every year is spent on paying back Eskom. Keeping in mind we can verify this, so please, let's be very truthful in this, because the issue about equitable shares, where it should be spent and whether it's spent paying back Eskom, is another issue. And then finally, Chair, the question I want to ask, and I think, I don't know if your indulgence go around to each municipality for a very sharp answer. Gentleman from, I missed earlier whether you were the MM or the mayor, or the administrator, yes, of Machapeng. The mayor. Mr. Mayor, I apologize for not realizing that. Mr. Mayor, you urgently got upset with us, but you, just before you got upset with us, you said you were looking for a bailout, and you want Eskom to write off debt, and that is the big elephant in the room, isn't it? Is that these municipalities are struggling, you're suffocating, cannot survive. When the Reserve Bank bails out a bank, part of that deal is judicial management of the bank. In other words, they bring in new managers who then run the bank and make sure it's run correctly. In any bailout around the world, that is the normal procedure.
That was the problem with that APSA bailout back in the bad days, because none of that happened. So the question is, every single MM here prepared to resign their post and take a bailout? Because if we put you back in the same position of management of the municipalities after a bailout, how do we know we're not exactly back in the same position 5 years later? So if you're calling for bailouts and you receive a bailout, are you prepared to say, right, we'll walk away and let fresh people come and manage this place properly? See, I don't know if we can ask you that, because that is one of the consequences of a bailout. There's got to be some concomitant action.
Why don't we take that as a rhetorical question? That they must keep at the back of their minds that if we are, because tomorrow we're meeting with the interministerial task team, if there is going to be bailouts, it also does mean that if there is anyone who is not doing their job or their jobs at management level, we also need to restructure and reconstitute management where there are clear instances of management failure. I would like us to treat it that way, rather than each one of them raising their hand and saying, "No, me, I'm good. I'm doing my job. Don't take me out."
Chair,
you are ready to go.
So some of them want to respond to you, Chair, I'm in your hands. Chair, I just think it's something you should really think about. And I just think the other statement that needs to be asked rhetorically to you have all got to be as frugal as absolutely possible in running your municipalities in order to slowly work your way out of this hole. I know it's not easy. I know it's incredibly difficult. But please, I'm urging you to be frugal in every single way you possibly can. Because it's not only... So understand, this has gone past the financial issues, come down to a confidence issue in your municipalities as well. Do your municipalities, do the residents of your municipality have confidence in you to lead the municipalities? That's absolutely vital.
All right.
And when you show you're frugal, you give them some reassurance. When you show that you're not, and you take drivers with on Cape Town trips, they start wondering. Okay. Thanks.
All right. Thanks. Comrade Boy.
Good afternoon, Chair. Thank you very much. I think why I was reprimanding the fellow from ESCOM is because our understanding is that ESCOM is leading a case in front of us. That the more you don't pay, the more they're not able to talk to foreign investors and win them over to be able to invest into ESCOM so that ESCOM can function. Mr. Mabuza was here and he presented it in that way and said to us, even the interministerial committee that we are meeting tomorrow, we'll be telling them quite frankly where to get off. But they themselves are not performing this duty. So as South Africans, we want to plead with you to cooperate with each other. Because one thing that we don't want to hear or see is to deal with the failed state. And the impression that we are creating when you overlook payment is that South Africa doesn't have the capacity to deal with this particular matter. And as you sit here trying to make sense of what council and the problems that they're having, we do feel that you have not told us honestly what is it that we are struggling with to be able to help ESCOM so that ESCOM can deliver. So the broader picture would be, you are not assisting. I mean, you respect you councillor, but you see, when the Auditor General says to us, there's a lack of leadership at the local government level. There's a lack of willingness to get people to comply. That's why my colleague here was asking that question. That are you taking a formal statement to say you are going to pay ESCOM? It's because in the report in front of us, the Auditor General says there's no leadership at local government level. That's why we call you, so that we can hear from you that what is it that is a problem. We respect you, but also we want services to be delivered. And if South Africa collapses, all of us are responsible. Not only you, where you are situated. And that's where our challenge is. And I hope you'll contextualize it within that view, that you are seated with a bigger problem. The non-payment issue of ESCOM is hitting us very hard. You can't ask for a bailout when you can't pay. You see, every entity, SOEs and everything, that's a hard part and hard nut of ESCOM. We deal with finance. So the lessons we are trying to be able to draw is, how do we persuade other, the executive, to cooperate and find solutions with you? I can just ask my Ntshabelo, how much is your interest? Just to make us to understand here, how much is your interest versus ESCOM? If I'm just asking you.
Machabe.
Thank you, Chair. The interest that we're paying is on slide 23.
So just give us the amount.
The amount May 2017 to February 2018 is 175 million.
Okay.
Yes.
Switch on your mic.
I wanted to show you that the interest they're asking us to ask ESCOM to alleviate to problem is not so easy for us to go there and persuade ESCOM on an 182 billion to drop it. That's a huge challenge. And as a country, where will you find money to bail you out? Mfudin, how much are we talking about?
We're talking more or less 80 million share interest, 10% of what we owe them.
And you see, all these things are the bigger challenges that we face. Because Mfudin, half of that money that you're owing is penalties and interest and late payment. So it means that your management skills, people are supposed to be responsible, are not paying on time. How do we deal with that as you sit here? How do you convince government that you are doing a very good job? I know you might not have been there for a long time, but as we say from SCOPA, anyone who takes a position, it's hereditary by law that you take full responsibility. Now, if there's late payment, what do we do? And how do you go and persuade ESCOM to drop and equalize the interest rates so that at least ESCOM can be able to do something? I can go on. I can go back to my table and ask you, how much is your irregular expenditure? It's very huge, man, and shocking. It's very huge and shocking. We're talking about rand and cents. We're not talking about peanuts and salt. Rand and cents. Now, this is the context of moving from a scope. But what are you expecting us to do? And I had thought, I don't know if it was your correspondence, Chair, you'd give us to those challenges. You'd tell us what you want to do and be frank and honest with us. So that when you persuade the interministerial committee, we talk of facts, not tell us about your population, you've got so many people. That for us, as Honorable Khuno was showing, we come from these areas. You hold no view. We come from these areas, we stay in these areas. But what is important in governance is that how do you assist us to find solutions around this particular problem? Or we allow South Africa to collapse
and who will talk tomorrow? I mean, I wouldn't want my children to suffer because of inefficiencies that are taking place in government. And that is our biggest challenge. And it's what we want you to take back on your own consciousness. Because national government, provincial government, we're dealing with local government. And that's what makes you to be here in front of us. Because you want to do, I mean, the Auditor General talks about irregular expenditure, very high. ESCOM is collapsing. And we don't want the South Africans to have an ESCOM that is collapsing. They go and they say, give us money, but they say to you, you can't even collect your money from the municipalities. How are you going to pay us back? This is what ESCOM is faced with. It's a big political question. You come here and you run around the World Bank, you want us to pay, to give you money. Now you say, so you say you must go look for a bailout. But you can't even look after your own money. We see that the same problem there with South African Airways. You gave them 5 billion last year. They're busy spending it on salaries. How do we go back to those investors and say to them, invest into South African Airways? It becomes a big problem. I want to ask a question. It's just only I wanted to make sure that we're in equal par in how we see the problem. That's why I'll leave it, Comrade Chair.
All right. Thank you very much. Lastly, I will give the honorable member to ask one or two questions. I'm aware that it's already after 4:30. But we are nearing the end. Yes,
ma'am. Thank you so much, Chairperson. I think I missed something here on governing begging. On their presentation on page 21, the last bulletin, there's something that is written there, but both the MM and the executive mayor didn't speak to it. It reads as follows. 2018-19 draft budget and data streams completed and approved by council. I want to find out if this draft budget was approved by the council.
Oh, my God. Budget approved by council, yes or no?
Yes, it was approved. It was approved.
Yes, that's what I wanted to hear. Okay, yes.
Okay, then. Could you please just bring light to this house in terms of how did you approve the budget if your meeting didn't meet the quorum? Because I understand that some of the councillors were not in support of this budget because we had budgeted for Speaker's car to the value of 700,000 rand and the Mayor's car to the value of 900,000 rand, and you didn't form a quorum in that meeting.
When the meeting started, all councillors were present and the quorum formed. But when they were debating the issue of the budget, some councillors left the house.
Thank you so much for that. Can you provide us with the attendance register? Could you please send it to the chairperson so that we can see if your meeting had quorum? I think it is very important for us to have that information.
I thank you. Chair, I wanted to exactly come in on the issue of the attendance register because when the meeting started, we had a quorum, and then some councillors decided to leave. And they refused, totally refused to sign. Those who left decided not to sign.
All right. No, it's fine. Then send us the copy of those who signed. Well, I hope you would appreciate that it does raise questions around whether the budget was actually passed or not. I'm sure you saw your colleagues in Nelson Mandela Bay could not pass their budget. I'm sure because of those kind of contestations. Sometimes it is okay to take time and try try to bring everybody on board rather than to steam ahead, especially when there can be legal challenges, because then they will take you back to square one. But I'm not making a judgment because I don't know what happened. All right. Thanks.
Thank you, Chairperson. And Governor Mbeki, when you were giving us your presentation, there is a point where you indicated that you're going to embark on a massive cut-off. I would like to find out if you have a cut-off list for the businesses and as well as for the individuals.
Yes, through the Chairperson, we do have a cut-off list. We actually also compile a cut-off list monthly based on the payments and non-payments of each month.
Okay, can I get a copy of that, please? Can you send it to the Chairperson?
Why? Why do you want that list?
Apparently, our councillors have been requesting that information to ensure that they're compliant, and the Governor Mbeki municipality is not cooperating. So I was hoping that maybe through this committee...
So you actually are not the one who want it. It is some councillors who want it.
Yes.
Yes.
And you can use the committee for doing that.
No, I apologize for that.
Right. Our proposal is not to go and interrogate councillors right. Who's attending.
No, I understand. I understand. And I hear you. And I sympathize with you. But maybe let's I think the issues that you have raised around the budget, I think they're sufficient and relevant because they relate to what they have presented. But the other stuff, maybe let's let them tussle with them at that level and see how they're sorted out.
I have one last question, Chairperson.
Okay, sure.
And this question is directed to Ligwa Local Municipality. I understand that while you're... you were trying to enhance revenue to be able to settle the Eskom debt. There is a service provider that you appointed, Mahaji, and at some point there is money from the electricity that was paid over to Mahaji Electricity. I'm speaking under correction, Ligwa Municipality. Could you please just advise how did the 35 million end up into Mahaji's account? And the understanding is that there was an amount of 21 million that was supposed to be paid back to Ligwa Municipality. I would also like to find out if that money was paid back to the municipality, and if no, what measures are in place or steps in place to ensure that we get that money back? Because if we get that money back, the Eskom debt will be 21 million lesser. Thank you.
How do you make sure that you get the money back?
Thanks a lot, Chairperson. Perhaps we... we will want to firstly indicate that the service provider under question was tasked to handle our installation of smart meters, prepaid vending. The current status quo is that we are handling the matter at the arbitration level because we have a firm view that we need to recover that money because as they were handling vending, they decided to pay themselves before they give us amounts, and we are arguing that we must firstly receive the money and then we get an invoice and we pay. Therefore, that's our attitude. The current status quo of the matter is at the arbitration level, and we really need that money. Indeed, you are correct, Honorable Member, that we need to use it to further lessen our debt. Thanks.
All right. Thanks very much, comrades. I just want to check with the DG if there is anything you want to add in a minute or two before we point off. I really want us to...
I wanted you to laugh a little bit, just a little bit, Chairperson. Yes. The AG, when he came before SCOPA about municipalities, he said there's a problem of instability, which a lot of councils have agreed to today.
lack of leadership and accounting. So I'm just saying before the DG comes in from COCTA, I think it's important that we have a skills audit of every municipality, because it doesn't matter how much we sit in these meetings trying to solve problems, but if you have a mismatch of careers, like you have you've been trained to do this, you're doing something else, that is not helping at all. So I'm just saying it's important that we could get that audit. I think it will help municipalities deal with some of the problems. If you want to get into the bottom of the problems and try to deal with the root causes.
All right. Comrade Chilwan, you're the very, very absolute.
Thank you, Chairperson. There was an issue that was raised by Likwa Municipality that Eskom owes them 6 million. If I think I heard them correctly. Yeah, maybe if you can just get an elaboration. What does it entail? Or we should ask Eskom, what is it for? Why are they not paying or crediting the account of the... I just wanted to find that section. Thanks.
Okay. Let's hear from Likwa, because the gentleman here might not even be aware of the Likwa account.
Well, Chairperson, it's property rates and services.
Property rates and services.
Going to help, Chairperson. Maybe I'll ask Eskom when they come tomorrow. Yeah, as long as it's been clarified. I just wanted a clarification. Thank you very much.
Okay. DG?
Thank you, Chairperson. Honourable members, I think from the presentations by the 10 municipalities, there are certain things that just run, a whole golden thread running through all of their presentations. And I think one thorny one is this issue of having to tell out who is the service, the electricity distribution service authority in the areas of jurisdiction of municipalities, you know, between ESCOM and the local authority. Now, that ran through all of them. And I think in an attempt to resolve that, that's why we have established a panel. The minister has established a panel to just deal with that, and we hope to get a report by end of July. Who is the service authority? Because as long as that is not clarified, then you will always have these issues. So I think even tomorrow that point would be raised. But we hope to resolve this matter once and for all. I mean, SALGA has its position. They are saying in terms of the constitution and the municipal systems and the Finance Management Act, that is the municipality is the authority. But ESCOM says, no, you are not the authority. Actually, we also are the authority because we have the license from NERSA to distribute within the area of it. Now, of course, the issue is between that NERSA agreement between ESCOM and NERSA, that is supersedes what the Constitution says. Or, you know. Now, so that we hope to clarify sooner rather than later. The other thing, Chair, which is very clear, is that, and of course we have had municipalities say, no, they will go on a campaign to encourage people to pay. Now, from 1994, that has been the issue to say, now it's a new dispensation, everybody must pay for services and so on. Now, bottom line is that system, a system where you consume services and then pay later, it doesn't work. It's very clear. It just simply... It doesn't matter how many times you can tell people pay and so on, as if they don't know that they have consumed, they must pay. So the system that works, and I think, Chairperson, it was also very clear in one of the not-so-well-performing bits of water, okay, that the system that in a prepaid metering system, they get 100% payment. But, of course, the problem there is that they then decided to give 60% to
to the service provider. But the bottom line, that's the system works. They get 100%. And then on the provisional metering system, they regulate 48% payment. So we just need to do what works. And that is people shouldn't use a service, they shouldn't consume before they pay. Okay, I mean, that is just the bottom line, all other things. Because this 139 billion that is owed to municipalities, the bulk of it is in where people use conventional metering system. They consume first, and then they are supposed to pay, then they don't pay. Okay? In the villages, people are paying there. Eskom is paid. Why? Because people are using prepaid metering system in the villages. But you get to the townships, people consume first, and then they refuse to pay. So I think that system, it doesn't need any massaging. It just doesn't work. People must pay first, and then they consume. Now, also what is clear is that, I mean, there's a municipality here that has got 153 people who are not South Africans, but they consume the services within that municipality. And yet when you do your equitable share formula, they don't count that 153. I mean, that 153 is another municipality. I mean, there's a municipality here with a population of 65,000 people. But now, in that means 153,000 people are not part of this. So when you do the equitable share formula, so then the grant, the equitable share grant, is distorted, you know. So I think that calls for a revisiting of the intergovernmental fiscal policies and so on. It has to be revisited because I'm just talking those that are foreign. But of course, in the informal settlements as well, those people, because they don't carry a municipal account, they also don't, when they do the equitable share formula, they look at who is having the municipal account. Those are informal settlements are not counted in. So the formula is distorted. It needs to be reviewed. And just last but one, Chairperson, this thing of who is the authority, by the way, it's not only a problem between Eskom and municipality. If you drill down to there's an inter-municipal service authority debate there as well between the local and the district. Because in some cases, the local would say, no, but we used to dispute water and so on, and now it's done by the district, and the district doesn't have the capacity and so on. But the district also with their functions, like fire and rescue, disaster management, environmental health, they also say, but we don't get any money for these things, and but we are expected to. So therefore, make us to be the bulk service authority in water and electricity, which means they serve the locals in bulk, and then the locals will then reticulate to the residents. So again, they are saying that is the only way as district municipalities that we can get revenue, because the service levy, the filling stage, that levy has been cancelled. So you have that type of thing, and I think those are the things that we're working towards resolving at a policy level. And lastly, just as I just talked, and I've mentioned this, that we have analyzed all municipal, all the 257 of them, in terms of their capacity to deliver services, manage finances, the governance, and so on. And I must say, on average, we found that 30% of a problem, you know, is your administrative matters and so on, including the skills levels and so on. But then the 70% in our analysis is now on the political governance, you know, which then impact on the administrative. So, but we have plans for all these municipalities. Of course, we've got the 87 that need immediate attention and so on. But we have plans there. We move there with National Treasury and the provincial treasuries. And then we have our MISA, which looks at the service delivery arrangement. That's why even this case in Disobota, those army engineers have our own engineers as well from MISA. So we have got these teams that are going, we're going to deploy. We have started deploying in the municipalities to assist. But what we have also realized is that until we have COCTAs, that the provincial COCTAs that have capacity, then you are not cracking it, because they are supposed to use that Section 154 to support municipalities. But we found that they don't have the capacity. So that's another issue which we hope to resolve. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you very much. The gentleman from SALGA, I only remembered as the DG was talking that I suppressed you. I think at some point you had raised your hand. But I suppose no house would burn if you didn't make your input, unless if it was very, very critical for you to make that input.
Chair, I think DG has covered me, but the issue that I want to throw, fortunately I'm talking to lawmakers, is the transition between the period of white paper of local government and today, and what has developed over time, and what is it that it need to be looked at. That includes matters of funding model, and other areas. Okay. I think it is important that the legislatures, it's important for them to seize themselves with that debate. Otherwise, we'll be always running behind in trying to catch up with developments, which developments have gone past us. I think that's one issue. And the other issue linked to that, you'll find that in local government, we are told that there is no councillor that will owe municipal services. But in national government, those that are belong to national government, provincial government, they can owe municipalities. That's what it means. Okay. And this it speaks on the matter on the manner in which we form local government in some 15, 16 years ago, and with the current developments that are taking place in our country. The other issue, which is the last issue on my side, I think DG have covered generally, is this issue of having weak instruments to collect. It's a matter that I believe we need to be seized with. I can make a practical example, is that there is no business that will be accredited and be given a right to go and operate elsewhere if it don't have a tax clearance. But in municipality, you can run from this province to that municipality and do a business, but you owe that municipality. So it's issues that we need maybe to be seized with in contributing, in improving capacity of collection into municipalities. And I think to me it's one thing that is missing in the debate and so on. I think, thank you very much. Okay.
Thank you very much. Well, a few things. Firstly, DG, I would like that through you and the gentleman there at the back, because he has always been in our meetings, the request that we've made for municipalities that are here to indicate to us the percentage of the equitable share which they're using to pay ESCOM, those debts, can they be collected through your office and be sent to us? Two, and also, can you also collect for us the forensic audit report from Tabachiro? I'm going home. It's just 45 minutes drive to Tabachiro, but I'm not going to collect it. Please collect it. you must collect it. Together with the forensic audit reports in the other 9 municipalities, if there are any, that have been generated in the past 12 months. Thirdly,
And I think this is, this will be worrying and alarming, that municipalities can't rely on the police to act on illegal connections. I think this is serious. So would love that Machabi, you spoke about your engagement with the police, including, okay, you spoke about writing to the Minister of Defense. What I'm not sure of is whether there's any communication that was ever sent to the police, or whether you can generate a report to us on your engagement with the police on those matters. If that report is there, we want it. Equally, Tabatweu, you spoke about a specific instance where the police literally left you to the mercy of those communities. If there are any letters of communication with the SAPS, would like to have them, as well as a report from your side, because at least we'll be having something in writing from ourselves that this is what Tabatweu said about these things, which should also include the question of, as you indicated, some members of the SAPS being part of those who have illegally occupied houses. And DG, any other municipality that might have a similar report insofar as the inability of the SAPS to provide adequate support when they have to deal with these cases. Also, can we, DG, since you're in the Northwest, check with Litsobotla. How do you get a third party to collect your prepaid electricity and agree that you pay that service provider 60%? Unless the official who signed that is actually part of that gang. I'll not even say they're service providers, just a gang of looters. How do you take such a decision? I mean, it defies logic. It defies logic. How do you do that? How do you do that? In the first instance, just getting a third party to collect prepaid electricity for you is mad enough. But to then say that person is going to take 60%, no. DG, that thing needs to be reviewed urgently. And we need to identify who are the officials who signed that contract. The Vesta. Vesta, it's Maluta Pofung and Govendik. Yeah, Govendik. We need from you, Govendik, as indicated, all those letters from your recommendation of a preferred service provider, the letter you sent to National Treasury, as well as the letter from National Treasury saying take Vesta, and all the other correspondences that you may have had with either National Treasury or provincial, the provincial treasury, to assist you, or your complaints and their responses around Vesta, because we have unfortunately came to the realization that you do find people at National Treasury who are not as prudent and as clean as that institution is revered to be when we're dealing with the integrated financial management system, whose final report, forensic audit report, we're waiting on the 12th of July. we've so far had three engagements with National Treasury around that issue, and many other issues that we are trying to penal beat them to be right, because it is clear that we're not necessarily surprised, even though disappointed that we'll have those kind of things, so that we can correct them. We and also Maluti are powerful in terms of your interactions on these matters. We have had engagements with the and maybe comrades, it is something we need to flag out and when you engage with the ministers. This issue of ghost vending. And the fact that one municipality, I can't remember which one, went to court, and is it Mwate or Machabe? Mwate. Yeah. They got the ghost vendors, those who sell electricity illegally to make money, took them to court, and what did they get? 4 years suspended sentence. Now, and then somebody goes into ShopRite and steal a loaf of bread, then they are sent to jail for 5 years. No, it cannot be. But you know, comrades, the challenges we've had with the NPA, corruption cases. People who steal 60 million rands and all they get is a fine of 20,000 rands suspended for 10 years. It just cannot be, because that stolen electricity is billed to the municipality. The issue of interest rates, I think, well, it's an issue that we need to raise tomorrow, because it's self-defeating if you then have a bill. I mean, if you look at the Soweto debt of ESCO, actually the interest rates are more than the actual debt of consumed electricity. Now, ESCOM is a state institution. It's not a computer that operates automatically. And it's correct that tomorrow we're talking with the political leadership, because the mindset of a municipality, the mindset of a public entity, must also be at the right place. You know. But I think I found the Mwate arrangement very interesting in terms of assisting to find solutions to problems that are there. Now, we as municipalities equally need to do introspection on the failings that are there, on the shortcomings that are there, on the things that we need to do right. Because we can't be pleading poverty whilst we have bloated institutions. Can be. It cannot be correct. So we need to correct those things. Now, on top of bloated institutions, you have instability. It just cannot be correct. And then, as one of you pointed out, the misuse of Regulation 32, where municipalities get tied to all manner of service providers, and money is just looted just like that. And and the DG spoke to this issue around political interference. We mayors and speakers do need to allow the municipal managers to manage, give them space to manage. But when they mess up, they must face the consequences. But we know, you know, municipalities, that's where things are very crude. You know, Karl Marx talks about primitive accumulation, where everything is crude. Capital emerges from feudalism, dripping from every pore with the blood of the workers. So there you find outright thuggery, practical and political. We need to enhance the way we do things. Allow managers to manage. That's the only way we can better enhance. Unfortunately, the DG indicated that a high percentage of the problems at local level are political. So if we sort out the political, then the administration would follow, because anyway, it's politics over administration. So if the politics is fine, you say this is where we want to go, and let the administrators do their work. But maybe the last 2 points from me. DG, you spoke about us thinking out of the box. And that is what I want us to do. And let's think about this very, very seriously. Tell Naledi, why should Naledi have a district municipality when that district municipality is of no assistance, is of no use to them? Why do you need district municipalities? I mean, even Sidibeng, you go, you say you have a district called Sidibeng. I mean, only two municipalities, Emfuleni and Midvale. Oh, Lesedi is still there. Oh, I thought it was disbanded. Okay. So, but it's really pointless. And if you take it to the rural areas, those districts themselves don't have resources to do anything to fulfill their constitutional obligation. So do we really need district municipalities? The little resources that we're putting into those district municipalities could actually go to the municipalities. And the DG also spoke about the lack of capacity in the provincial coctas. Do we really need the provinces? Honestly, it's an honest debate. The money that we're paying the members of the provincial legislatures and the bureaucrats, they are there. They're supposed to be looking after municipalities, but all these municipalities are collapsing under their watch. So honestly, let's put the politics aside and say practically, wouldn't both human and financial resources be better deployed to municipalities to serve a purpose? Because, look, okay, let's not go there. Not your. No, you remember that when we had basic education about infrastructure, national, they said, no, we can't do anything because it is a provincial function. We had life as a domain in Gauteng. Dr. Mswale cannot do anything because that's a provincial responsibility. And I'm told you might have another life as a domain in the Eastern Cape, somewhere in the western part of the Eastern Cape. There's nothing the national minister can do, because the constitution gives those powers to provinces. But are they delivering? So I'm thinking outside the box. I'm saying let's think outside the box. But lastly,
And this is a challenge not only to you, but who are included. I think Comrade Kunok started there. Let us, because we all talk about our people and the culture of non-payment, this and that. I think it poses a very serious challenge to all of us, to the political class. We say we're leaders. Who are we leading? Who are we leading when nobody listens to us? When we can't go to our people and say, look, you need to pay for your services. You're going to get electricity. You're going to get water. Pay for it. And you have government officials registering as indigenous. Who are we leading? Say, a leader of society. Which society are you leading? When you're going east and society is going west. That question we must never dodge. Let us be honest to ourselves. Who are we leading? Who are we leading? Nobody. You see, if you recall, just by example, in Egypt, when there was that uprising against Mubarak, talking about people and consciousness, when Mubarak fell, that Tahrir Square, which was vandalized, the protesters went back to repave it and repaint themselves because they understood that it was vandalized when they were fighting this man. When it is done, it is their infrastructure that they must restore because it is them who use it. But what do we have? We have the exact opposite. Some of you spoke about council offices being banned, and this and that, and this and that, and this. By the very people who are leading, are we really their leaders? So let's. But anyway, I think that's something else. But I'm just saying, you know, let's not gloss over issues. Let's invest in thinking. Somebody said during the elections campaign there was a party that was campaigning on people should not pay. What do you call that? Leadership. So let's invest in thinking. The problems we have will not be solved by rhetoric, but by thinking. We need to invest in thinking. Serious, reflective thinking. So, but I want to thank you very much.
Two issues. Masaki, the Governor Mbeki passing of the budget and the Naledi appointment of the MM, just to formalize that they report us on those two things. Thanks.
What? On COVID, what
did you... Well, Governor Mbeki, we asked them whether or not they passed their budget, and they say they have, and we believe that they haven't. We believe that they've misled the House. This is not about the cut-off list. The cut-off list is a different matter. The passing of the actual budget, which affects the public purse.
Well, we requested the attendance register, which they will send to us. I would imagine that from where they are seated, they believe they've passed the budget. But it might as well be so that maybe it is not. Right.
Also on the issue of the police occupying council houses. In the presentation, it was not only police, it was also senior officials of council who are occupying that is those houses. In the list that they should provide us, they should please include that.
All right, which means must not just be about the police, it must be about everybody. I want to thank you once again and agree with my colleague Ross that your presentations were quite good. Whether we agree with everything or not, that's another matter. But we're quite happy, and most of you were actually able to send us your presentations in time.
so we're able to have time to go through them in preparation for today. We really wanted to take you away from the shadows where you are being spoken about without affording you a platform to give context. I think we are now better informed, and our meeting tomorrow with the minister, I think we'll have the benefit of your input. Otherwise, we'd only have heard what ESCOM said. And from where I'm seated, I think there is something, there is much that ESCOM can also do to assist the situation. So it is not just that here, Tilikwen municipalities don't want to pay us, help us. But let's see how it goes. We want this thing resolved so that we can all focus on providing services to our people. Thanks very much, comrades. Let us meet tomorrow. The ESCOM issue, we are not yet sure, but we'll try and follow it up to see what happens. Okay. Same time, 9:30.